Blog Talk Radio.
We've had the best football picks for a decade, and we ain't stopping now. Live from the IMLD home studios, in its 10th season, this is, in much less detail, the podcast, where we cut through the noise and give you your NFL breakdown in much less detail. Now your hosts, Jay and Dre. Yes, it's the special Friday night edition of your favorite Saturday night football podcast. You are listening live to In Much Less Detail, the podcast. As we promised last week, we are here with you live on a Friday night, October the 21st, 2022, so that Jay can take his family on a weekend trip down to Milwaukee. I'm Dre, he's Jay, and we are in the house to look back on week 6 in the NFL and look ahead to week 7. Your football party is in full effect, and this week I'm the one that gets to do the extra partying because I pulled off the sweep, the same 5-game sweep that Jay pulled off on me in week 3, I pulled off on Jay in week 6. So looking good for the season now, up to 54-39 for me, 47-46 for Jay. Jay, was another interesting week of football, and the results didn't go your way.
I'm still over 500. I can deal with that. I mean, how can you think of a season where we both had a sweep over the other in 1 year? I mean, it's rare enough to do it once, and we've already had it twice. It's just absolutely wild. And, you know, the picks last week, I didn't really feel like I was getting the short end of too many. Some of them I just flat out got wrong. I had a lot of winners that faded late, which seems to be a thing now, with the comeback crazy league. I don't know if it's rules. I mean, I have a lot of it's rules and the way that these refs call games and just the crazy things that happen, the bad coaching.
I thought you were targeting Lamar specifically.
I've never seen so many blown leads every week. It maybe only happened to me on one or two of the picks, but that's all it takes when you only disagree on 5.
Sure.
So
yeah, I don't think we had any sweeps of each other last year, but last year was very similar with the back and forth and one person dominates
the other.
Yeah, because
last year you got way up early
and
you
lost it all.
At one point, like 12 or 13 games up, and then gave it all up, and then got it all back.
Yeah.
But every season tells us, every week tells its own little story. Every season is completely different. You know, you could be riding high, you know, taking all 5 of those games, and then it goes south. Or you get on a hot streak and it keeps going. It's hard enough to predict these games. The fact that we pick every single one, the good ones, the bad ones, a lot more bad ones than good ones this year, but we're not even at the midway point of the season yet.
Well, this week might provide even more bad ones. It's quite the ugly schedule.
This
should have been a Halloween schedule.
Yeah, this was a tough week also for picking games, because this was one of those where, it's a lot of bad teams or a lot of good teams playing bad teams. So not a fun week to try to pick. Not too many huge lines, but we've got a lot of lines in that like 4 to 8 point range.
There's quite a few. There's let me look down the list real quick here. Yeah, it's all over the place. There's no like cluster of 3 point lines and then cluster of 7. There's a little bit of everything. It's quite the range.
And you don't have it quite like last week. We had 2 double-digit lines, and you have Tampa Bay just completely losing a game.
Yeah.
It just no rhyme or reason to any of this.
It's been one of those years.
But you're off to it. You know, you've completely embraced the chaos, so you're off to a good start.
I think that's a good way to describe it, because some of those picks I made last week was out of chaos. There was no rhyme or reason for me to trust the Steelers the way they've been playing.
They won.
And they won the game. Yeah, now that I definitely did not have. The money line, I definitely didn't have that. Not too much reason to think that the Falcons were going to knock off the 49ers. They're not a better team, I don't think, than San Fran, but they won the game. They can definitely
claim that.
They didn't
just beat them. They handled them.
Yeah. Yeah, beat them by 2 scores. That was quite the surprise as well. It has been chaotic. Maybe it's time to break out the coin early for some of these situations. I don't know. Some of these picks. So did you want to get off with our awards this week?
You get the honors. You
want me to handle again?
You won the week, you get the honors. That's the way we're doing it.
Oh, I see. All right.
Hear your geniusness more than they want to hear mine. What did I win? 5-5 last week?
Yes, 5-9 to my 10-4. But nobody wants to hear me go on, believe me. But I'll start anyway. I'll have to go very predictable with my best of the week. I'm going to reference that Bills Chiefs game. It was dramatic. It was tense. It was great television. It may not have been the prettiest, but I think that was the point. I think both teams were trying some new things on each other. They're so familiar now over the years. They were trying to blow the scoreboard up and light it up, because I think both teams know they have the quarterbacks that can do that, that can go to that, but only when they need it. They were trying to set each other up and sort of slow play each other a little bit, but the intensity was there from the opening, from both teams. The running was hard, was intense by both teams. The running backs were trying to send messages and lay an extra lick on the defenders. There was a lot of messages being sent in that game, and the Bills wind up coming out on top in the end as road favorites, and we both had that one. Specifically, the best part to me was the fourth quarter theater, because the Bills are losing, and that game gets to the fourth quarter tied at 17, and the stage is set for who's going to win this slugfest, and the Bills are the ones that that give up the tie on the field goal, but it could have been worse. It could have been a touchdown in that drive, but the defense bends but doesn't break. They get some more great plays from Matt Milano, the linebacker, and I think that's specifically a thing that the Bills are really getting a lot of use out of their linebackers, specifically Milano, because of the fact that they're dominating up front with their front four, and their linebackers can sort of play back and just read the plays and do what they want to do. They don't have to back up the linemen and try to blitz and try to cover them, because the line has got it covered themselves, especially Von Miller. So Matt Milano runs down Clyde Edwards-Helaire aggressively. Isaiah Pacheco had a swing pass that had a lot of room if he could get past Matt Milano, but no dice. Milano shuts that down. Pat Mahomes breaks out the Fred Astaire dance on third, trying to get some room. He got shoestring tackled. That's what resulted in the field goal. And then the Bills say, well, you had your chance. Now it's our turn. And, after another couple drives back and forth, the Bills take over. And it felt like they had to go for it at their own 33-yard line. It was getting late in the game. They had a 3rd-and-1 check down. To a Singletary pitch, Devin Singletary couldn't gain the corner. So they're at their own 33. It's 4th-and-1. They got to go. And not only do they got to go, but even before the play happened, you feel like they got to shove that big guy project the middle. They got to take that big ass quarterback that tries to beat everybody up and just push him forward. And there's no other way they could have gotten that fourth down. That's exactly what they did. No other option. And he goes on from there. To start throwing some great passes, deep in cut to Stephon Diggs, three Chiefs in the vicinity. He didn't care. Just drops it right where it's supposed to be. with the zip and with the accuracy, just a master level throw, and then quarterback run to the right. And that's not just any quarterback. That's Project. That's Josh Allen. Carl Lewis hurdle in the middle of the run. It's like, no, that did not just happen. Tell me that did not just happen. You almost wanted to go back and rewind it on your TV. Did I just see what I think I saw? How does that – that's not fair. How does a 6'5", 240-whatever-pound quarterback decide to just jump over defenders in the middle? Like, he's tough enough to defend. Now he's breaking out hurdles. And follows that up with, of course, the unbelievable touchdown throw to Dawson Knox, low left corner, zings it perfectly, directing traffic, telling him where to go, go to the right. He doesn't go to the right. He says, okay, fuck it, I'll throw it anyway, and puts it exactly where it had to be from 14 yards out. Nobody else could have gotten that ball except Dawson Knox to put him up 24-20. It was just a wow sequence. The theater was incredible. You think it's Pat's turn now. Here comes the Chiefs. Here comes Pat Mahomes. It's going to be like the playoffs last year where he leaves the drive back and they go back and forth. But not to happen, not to be no miracle this time. Teron Johnson sneaks underneath for the interception and the Bills put it away. It was just, like I said, it wasn't the greatest played game, but it wasn't bad at all. It was just tense and tight, and both teams really had a lot to prove with each other. And it was great theater. And in the end, the Bills come out on top. As we say, they had to do it. They had to have that game, Jay. We knew it. We cited all the reasons they had to have it, not just for revenge for last year, but to get the home field for the AFC in case it comes down to the Chiefs and Bills. They don't want to come back to the Arrowhead, and now they don't have to. Now they can sit back and wait for everybody to come to them.
My throat got scratchy. You basically said all of my points. Kumbaya. It's easy to give the best of the week. It's what we do. I broke it down simply more to just the quarterback, because my notes right here, all it says, Josh Allen will not be denied. And when push came to shove and they needed their quarterback, he put the team on his back, and just like he did in the playoffs in that game, you know, that game last year was just the oh yeah, watch this game, right? I mean, that's all that was. Each quarterback back and forth. The defenses didn't matter because the offenses were playing at that elite level. Excuse me. And this game was more like a boxing match. Like you said, it wasn't pretty. It wasn't the highest scoring game. There was actually defense played in this game, unlike in that playoff game. But this still had a playoff atmosphere. And we said the team that needs this win more is Buffalo, because they need to put down team that they don't want to have to go to their building and play if it comes to a championship situation. Or, you know, it looks like it could be that way. I mean, these look like they're going to probably be, you know, the top seeds would be my guess. I'm not going to play it all out, but if everything stays as it is and, you know, relatively healthy, and it never happens that way, but you play it all out in your brain, the Bills and the Chiefs are probably your number one and your number two teams in the AFC. I mean, strange things could happen between now and, you know, 11 weeks from now, but it just looks that way. And, yeah, Josh Allen, just like he did in the playoff game, thought, you know, threw the game-winning touchdown, right?
Again, it's what that loser did. The last thing that loser did in the playoff game last year was throw a touchdown pass to Gabe Davis. Such a loser.
Won the game. And this time, his last throw is a touchdown pass that wins the game,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, he's the man. I mean, I got to ask you seriously, is Josh Allen the best quarterback in football?
As far as I'm concerned, he is.
I mean, I just to think the turnaround, we talk about on this show, the turnaround of view more than me of his career trajectory, you know, from looking so bad, like, the team didn't want to use him at all. You know, they had that awful playoff game, and now it's this. You know, the coach who was trying to get himself fired, our joke about the worst playoff team ever that we've ever seen, and then they get Josh Allen, and he's the project, and then he's got the stuff with the tweeting out rap lyrics, right? And that always puts the mark on the guy coming out. And now here he is playing at the highest level of any quarterback in the league. I mean, running it, throwing it, trucking dudes, jumping over dudes.
Hurdling people? What the hell?
Yeah.
Like he wasn't hard enough to tackle?
Yeah, and we're not always kumbaya. Last week I gave best of the week to a kicker. But sometimes you have to just call out the excellence when you see it. And, yeah, in the best game of the week, the biggest game of the year probably so far, Josh Allen was the man.
Yeah, I want to give props and praise to the Chiefs. It's not all about the Bills. The Chiefs gave them a hell of a fight. Yeah. They both looked like they were trying very hard. They were both coming out and throwing physical bombs, like I said, in the run game. And they both looked like they were trying to get a little too cute early in the game in that first quarter. Let's see. The Bills had Project do this. I don't know if you remember this RPO fake to Isaiah McKenzie and then a backwards throw back to him. And McKenzie wasn't even looking for the ball. It was like three or four intricate parts of that play, right. And the last part, McKenzie forgot. I forgot the last part of that. You throw it back to me. I wasn't even looking for it. And the Chiefs get a huge gift turnover in the first possession for the Bills. So then the Chiefs come back and got too cute. Pat pulled back an RPO to throw a touchdown, but the offensive line was downfield. So that got called back, so that didn't count. And then third and go from the nine. He bought time. He rolled out. He does some dancing again and decides to throw it up for Marquez Valdes-Scantling, but he's got two dudes on him, and one of them picks it off, Kyer Elam. That was just a bad decision. Like I said, a tense game. It was well played. It wasn't the best played. There were mistakes, but both teams tried like hell. They both knew what was on the line. They both were looking forward to this the entire season. Everybody knew it. We were all looking forward to it. And I don't know. There might be more entertaining games. There might be more high-scoring games this season, obviously. But I think for the drama of what these two teams think of themselves and each other, top two in the AFC, maybe top two in the league, take the NFC completely out of it. And, you know, if this is the AFC title game up in Orchard Park, I think both of us probably agree that if that's what it turns out to be, that's the Super Bowl, because whoever the NFC produces won't have a chance against the winner.
Right, and we thought that when the Chiefs played the Bills last season, but it ended up being division round, and we're like, this is it. This is just, and then, the Chiefs laid that second half egg against the Bengals. I honestly think if the Bengals don't beat the Chiefs and then have that crazy comeback, which they earned. I mean, they schemed the hell out of the Chiefs in the second half of that game, and the Chiefs did not adjust. The Chiefs would have won the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I agree, but
can't go back and replay. Say. That's right.
Right.
It's always easy to say it, because what if? What's your worst of the week?
Oh, where was my worst of the week? You know, I'm going to get better at organizing my notes and figuring out what I got wrote down here. I can't shake that old feeling watching the Eagles and the Cowboys, Philly just shoving Dallas around in the run game. The way to mess up Dan Quinn's light and fast defense, just run it down their throats. We saw it. Saw it in Atlanta, see it here in Dallas. It was no contest. That wasn't the worst of the night, however. Did you hear the commentary of that particular game on Sunday night?
I did not.
Okay, you're not aware of something Chris Collinsworth said.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it was real bad.
You know, what's so amazing is I didn't catch any of this, whether it was, in the game, in the after game, in Twitter. It must have, maybe everyone didn't catch it, because I didn't see him getting flamed, or I just missed it.
It was hot as hell Monday morning and afternoon, and then it kind of dissipated.
Okay, that makes sense, because Monday mornings I don't work, so I'm not really on my phone or looking at that stuff. So probably by the time I even started looking at things, it was gone.
It was so hot I had to get the sound of it. So,
oh, I could hear it for the first time.
Yeah, I'm surprised you weren't aware of this at all. So
he
whatever
didn't drop like the N word or anything, did he?
No.
Oh, okay.
I almost wish he would have. So the Eagles have an offensive lineman while they're running against Dan Quinn's defense. They have an O lineman road grading out there. His name is Landon Dickerson, and Chris Collinsworth got a little too excited praising Mr. Dickerson's run blocking.
Hi, right, how about if you get a little taste of Landon Dickerson coming right down your throat?
Playing in the game, 72-71.
The hell?
Oh, man.
Like, there is no excuse. There is no way in hell he could ever convince me that he didn't do that on purpose. Like, really? The guy's name happens to be Dickerson, and then you make that particular reference. Like, what? Why in the hell would you say something like
that? Hi, how about if you get a little taste of Landon Dickerson coming right down your throat?
No, I don't want a taste of anyone coming down my throat. What the fuck's wrong with you, man? Come on.
Oh, man.
So that was my worst and my what the fuck. Well, I got another what the fuck, but that deserves a what the fuck as well. Like, why would you do that?
Wow, that's good. I'm...
And
you know,
and I understand
so
I'm inviting a certain element to call in by playing that, but I had to play it anyway.
You could go on YouTube and just find cut-up clips of all these sports announcers.
Saying some of the dumbest things.
Yeah, if you could take any 5-second clip, especially in football, with stuff like, oh, man. Like, oh, yeah, look at this. He comes right in his face.
You hear
that one a lot.
Yeah.
You probably hear, yeah.
No, I definitely understand what you're saying, things of that nature. But that topped them all right there. And on a national stage in front of millions of listeners.
Did you just see him up in the booth? Was that Tirico? Who's up there with him?
Yeah.
He's probably elbowing him with a big smile on his face, like, what's this?
And Tirico's probably looking at him like, dude.
Oh, man.
What the hell? So that was definitely my worst of the week.
My worst of the week. So I have decided now that my week – goes from kickoff on Thursday night to the next kickoff, right? That's my week, right?
Sure.
Because this is something from Sunday, but it ended up not becoming really a story until Thursday, but it was before the kickoff Thursday night. Simply put, my worst of the week, Elijah Moore doesn't like winning.
Yeah, get me out of here, this piece of shit organization. Get me off this team.
Your team has, like, beat the hell out of the Packers and the Dolphins. Like, your division rival in the Dolphins, you go to Lambeau and beat the living hell out of the Packers. You run the ball down their throats. They don't really have to throw a lot. They get a punt block touchdown in the game at Lambeau. I mean, they just blitzed that poor Skylar Thompson. They beat him like a drum. And Elijah Moore just decided, you know what's going to make everything better? I'm going to make this all about me.
Get me out of here. You're a bunch of losers.
And, yeah. I saw those stories. And I'll tell you what, he appropriately did not have many people supporting him in this.
Yeah.
Pretty universal, the backlash against this. Yeah, yeah. Crying as your team is winning because you're not scoring, you know, and people rightfully so, are saying, you sat through that season of the Jets last year, but you were happy because you scored a garbage time touchdown?
It's getting my numbers, baby. It's about me.
You know, so, yeah, Elijah Moore, worst of the week.
Okay. Yeah, well, I was going to point it out because it's just because it's part of the trend of wide receiver drama and crying and begging to get off teams. It is crazy.
Trade me.
It's, exploded in the last few weeks. Just everybody seems to want to get off their team. It's mm-hmm. wild.
Yeah. It makes no sense. What, because you had a couple of games. I think he's third on the team in targets.
I need to be number one. Come on. I'm a star.
Well, that's also a team that's got Garrett Wilson now.
Oh, he ain't nothing.
It's all about me.
Right.
Well, it's funny because the two games where they hardly threw the ball your way, your team won.
Don't care.
Just saying.
Don't matter.
So the Jets seem content to just sit his ass down and let him rot.
Mm-hmm.
Good for them.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't. The situation there, if I'm a receiver and, you know, I'm not getting my numbers, but we're just shocking the world and putting ourselves in position to be in the dogfight for a playoff spot all year.
Yeah.
Like, what do you want?
the best Twitter comment I saw about it says, like, basically, if you read between the lines here, Zach Wilson must have banged his mom.
Oh, well, I don't know. How old is his mom? I don't know if she qualifies.
Hey, hey!
Was it 35? No, I'm not. I don't know.
Yeah, I no idea. No idea. All right. So that
smartest of the week
puts me back on the spotlight. My smartest. That's right. My smartest of week six. Bailey Zappe, I guess over Mac Jones, at least against the Browns coverage. I don't know. Like, he just sliced up the Cleveland Browns, and so simply because all the crap that I talk specifically about Matt Patricia and Joe Judge trying to run the New England Patriots offense, and it looked really ugly to start the season. But was Bailey Zappe the answer the whole time? Because he's looked pretty decent. He goes over 300 yards against the Cleveland Browns, and the Patriots destroy the Browns. That's their second week in a row of a blowout victory. And I would have never guessed it out of that offense a few weeks ago, but there it is. Myles Garrett actually commented after the game and basically said, Bailey Zappe coming out throwing was not what we planned for. We didn't see that coming at all.
I'll tell you what. Kid can throw. I don't know anything about Bailey Zappe, but I'll tell you what. When you just watch the game, you watch the game film, you watch the highlights, he can stand in there and he can sling it. I mean, he can make the throws. This is not a weak-armed kid, and he's throwing it with the zip, and he goes over 300 yards, and yeah, that's, 76 points in the last 2 weeks?
Oof.
And your smartest of the week is also my smartest.
Really?
Because all I've got written down here is the GOAT coach keeps goating it up. You think about it, like for Bill Belichick, he is now just sitting on easy street because he could just bury Bailey Zappe, go back to Mac Jones, and now he's got himself another Jimmy G, right? Or he's got himself an asset that somebody is going to
fire under Mac Jones' ass now too,
right? Or does the same thing in reverse with Mac Jones. So, man. You know, I don't think the Patriots are going to be there at the end, but they just always kind of find a way. I don't think they're very good overall, but last year they started slow and they got better. I mean, they even were in first place, you know, for a hot minute until the Bills said, "Nah, this shit ends now." But yeah, you know, give it to them. They started off terrible. They're 3-3, and it's been the Bailey Zappe show. They damn near almost won that game in Green Bay. You know, so hey, good for them. But yeah, I'm giving this one to the GOAT coach. They're figuring this out.
I guess when you say smart, and you look at the Patriots, they're almost the default every week.
Right.
And, yeah,
I mean, they're the evil geniuses, right? I mean, of the league.
We don't know what they were taping. We don't know what kind of advanced scouting they were getting, but we don't have any evidence otherwise, so we got to assume they're on the up and up now. They were going to just run the ball based on the prior 2 weeks before.
Right.
Bailey Zappe decided to be a thing. When you look at the coaching matchup and you see Kevin Stefanski versus Bill Belichick, that should have been a tip-off. I guess we should have known. We both picked the Patriots, but we should have both locked it up, I guess. But, yeah, that was a mismatch, and that was ugly from the get-go. So we both had the GOAT coach is the smartest. I guess that certainly worked out for them.
Yeah, the Patriots passing attack. If you go by the grades, you go by like the PFF grades and stuff. The last two games, their passing grades have gone from very mediocre, 50s, 60s, into the 70s and 80s.
Yeah,
these last two games. So maybe they're onto something here.
Well, if they are, they're
a fourth round pick.
They're extinguishing the fire if they really are onto something, because I think it's going to be Mac Jones back under center this week. So,
I said,
that might be the thing that sort of lights him up and makes him step his game up, because
that is entirely possible as well.
Everyone was praising Mac Jones last year for showing just the slightest bit of potential and competency. This Bailey Zappe kid, he really showed something. So, Mac Jones, you better step it up. You better watch it, pal.
Well, that brings us to the stupidest of the week.
All right, let's see if we'll have the same dumbest of the week, since we had the same smartest.
Oh.
So, the Cincinnati run defense, the Bengals could not handle the Saints at all. That game was definitely going the Saints' way. They knew the Saints would be running the ball. you definitely are aware of it.
That was one of my two blown games. One of the two where I actually had the comeback. So
they knew the Saints are going to be running because they're missing all their top three wide receivers. Chris Olave declared inactive before the game. They get a practice squad guy rushing for a touchdown, Rashid Shaheed, on an end around. They get a tremendous effort by the New Orleans front seven to terrorize Joe Burrow, is what you got to do. Dennis Allen didn't want to wear out his squad by blitzing every down. He really took his time and picked his spots and waited until he needed to dial it up and keep Cincinnati from coming all the way back. And everything is looking perfectly fine for the New Orleans Saints to get a big victory. And then Jamar Chase goes 60 yards on a normal hitch route. He just sheds his guy, and there's nobody left. Like, you want to cover him? You might want to. That guy's kind of good. Like, especially in that building, especially with that quarterback, there's kind of a history there. That quarterback kind of wore the guy's jersey, the receiver's jersey, into the stadium as tribute to what they did in college in that particular stadium. And, you might want to look out for him. He's kind of good at football. The Saints did everything they had to do until the very end, so that defense is going to get my dumbest, because how do you forget to guard Jamar Chase?
Yeah, and then after that, the floodgates opened up and Chase just went off.
Yeah, that was the second of the game, and that was the game winner.
He had himself a hell of a game. And that Saints great defense, they blew it.
Yeah, they were doing a good job too.
They were.
Oops.
I talked about it on the last show. My stupidest of the week. Sorry, Bears. Bears. How do you get first and goal for the first two drives of the game? You get first and goal and get 0 points.
Bye, Bears.
Against a team that's not going to score a lot of points. They lost that game 12-7. It was an awful football game, and you're that early in the game, and Justin Fields throws a pick to end the first drive in a goal-to-go situation. And then a turnover on downs, because they clearly lost their shit because they had the turnover on the first one. And again, this coaching. First of all, can you remember a season where you've seen more, like, goal-to-go picks than this season?
It does seem like an epidemic.
It is an epidemic. And then you know what? I understand. You're in the moment. You're at home. You've got to, you're like, oh man, they stopped us again. Well, damn it, we're gonna go for it. And then you get stopped again, and you basically start the game out where you've got all the momentum. You can set the tempo, and they don't even get a three out of that. Where they, you know. I understand the first one. You're going for it. You're being aggressive. Okay, somebody picked it off. The second time, you get to fourth down. Take the points. And then you lose by five. So, not the brightest. But, yeah, definitely giving it to the Bears. And then they had another goal to go later in the game. They didn't score on that either. So the Bears actually had three goal-to-goal situations in that game against the Washingtons. I almost said it. Almost had to put the money in the jar, and they get 0 points. The first two were egregious. The third one was, you know, they needed seven at that point, but still, three goal to go situations in the game, and you get zip.
Yeah, that's really bad. I'm so glad I never saw the first two situations because I was out to dinner once.
You mentioned that. Otherwise, as I said, you might have had an award for that. Especially being a fan of that team.
I managed to give the Bears an award anyway. I gave them my letdown. I'm a Bears fan. You have to be let down if you're a Bears fan watching that team get a Thursday night showcase game and put up a seven and lose to get. How do you lose to a – I got a whole nother angle. How do you lose a game to a quarterback with a broken finger?
Yeah, on his throwing hand even.
Dude had a broken finger on his throwing hand and beat you anyway. How the hell do you lose that?
And he didn't look good. I mean, how many yards did Carson Wentz throw for in that game?
99.
That's awful.
Yeah, that's terrible. I guess you lose it by having three goal-to-goal situations and coming with 0 points. I guess you lose it by muffing a punt to them to put them in scoring position for them to take the lead. And then I guess you lose it by bobbling the winning score because after all of that, they threw the winning touchdown pass, except the receiver decided to bobble the ball until they could simply be outside the end zone to make sure that they don't win that game. That smells a little like I should be looking for a – another referee with some money in his pocket. So. It's a big letdown all around for them. It's...
Huh.
Like you're right there at the goal line, and you have the ball in your hands. And you...
I'll let you do your surprise of the week, and then I'll get my surprise and let down out of the way.
Okay. My surprise, I was wondering if we were going to have the same surprise of the week. Because this one, I think we probably should have the same surprise. The way you talked about the terrible numbers of Matty Ice last week, and then 42 of 58 for 389 and three touchdowns. Including the game-winning dime to Alec Pierce. Who needs that Taylor guy? He's nothing. Who needs him? They come from the Colts come from behind and catch the Jaguars in a wild back-and-forth battle, and they do it behind Matt Ryan having just the game of his life. Like, where did that come from? That's definitely the biggest surprise for me. And no sacks.
It wasn't the surprise for me. It was the what the fuck. Lay it on me.
There it is.
Winning the game 72-71.
Here's what my note says about my what the fuck. Matt Ryan pulls a Ponce de Leon.
Oh, pardon
you. Like it's 2016.
Where did that come from? Yeah.
I had just crapped all over Matt Ryan because the dude led the league in picks, sacks, and fumbles.
No sacks. No.
No sacks.
No picks.
No picks. And I'm pretty sure no fumbles.
How about it?
He played his best game probably since his MVP season.
which is why I just knew it would be your surprise. But what the fuck works,
no.
too.
No, that was my what the fuck. No, my surprise of the week, I'm giving it to two teams. I'm giving it to the Giants, I guess you could put in this too. But you've got some teams that are clearly playing at their ceiling, right?
Oh yeah.
But they're all surprising, and I'm giving it to the Giants, the Jets, and the Falcons.
Sure.
That is clearly the surprise to me. I expected Atlanta to just, after they gagged up that game against the Saints, I expected them to go in the tank. And here they are, the six and oh auto cover team. Not 6-0 winning, but 6-0 against the spread. You've won a lot. They did it again. They blow the doors. I mean, just made Jimmy G look silly. And you know, and that's not a very good defense in Atlanta, but Jimmy G has those games. I mean, we know that he can do that. The Jets, you know what they've done, and then you got the Giants. It's crazy because I don't particularly see, and the Colts, I don't think any of those teams are good.
I don't either.
And it, you know, I mean, if we were playing some real and fake, it's fake. But it's 6 weeks, you know, and again, we could get to December 1st, and these teams are right because they are who we thought they were. But
right. So
far, that's my surprise.
Yeah, the auto cover Falcons. How about them?
The auto cover, that's our new nickname for them. See if
auto
they do
cover
it again
Atlanta.
This week.
Yeah.
The auto cover.
They ran right down their throats, the 49ers.
And that's, and you know what? That offense has gotten better without Cordero Patterson.
Yeah, I guess Art Smith knows how to run an offense where you hide your quarterback and just run the ball, huh?
Yeah, he's used to this.
Yeah, very familiar.
And Marcus Mariota goes 13 for 14 in the game, and just crazy efficiency. But this is what you think about with those three, right? You've got Arthur Smith and Robert Saleh and Brian Daboll. These seem like some of these like up and coming type coaches, right?
Yep.
And then you think about the coaches that are doing, like, the coaches that are really getting hurt right now, or it seems like they just don't know what they're doing. It's all the genius coaches. It's McVay. It's Boy Wonder. Except Kingsbury up until last night, which was just a clusterfuck of a game. But
your favorite Hackett.
Nathaniel Hackett. Oh, it's the geniuses. No. The geniuses aren't looking so genius so far this year. And then you've got, you know, these kind of quiet, under-the-radar hires, and you know, Arthur Smith and Brian Daboll and Robert Saleh. You can clearly see, if we like put this out two or three more years, I think all three of those guys probably still have jobs.
And, well, what about the others? You're saying,
not so sure.
We know you think Hackett's getting left.
I think Nathaniel Hackett's fired after next week.
You're on record.
Because next week, I think they're in London, and they're playing the Jags, and I don't expect them to fly home.
Without any evidence, I think what we're seeing in those other situations with teams that we say, no, they're not that good, but they're obviously playing above their head. I guess that's where the program can come in. That's where the culture change can come, and the coach can make a difference early in the season, where you can take these young guys and get them all hyped up and have them playing out of their minds. Now, will they be playing that way in December? Of course, that's the big question. We don't necessarily think they will, but right now it's still sort of early. They still got that youth and that energy. The car crash of the season hasn't beat them down quite yet, but get back to me in week 12.
Right. But what that is, though, especially for the newer head coach, it's a sign of progress. That's what you want to see.
Absolutely.
You want to see these teams that were lottery teams, basically, you know, for lack of a better term, improving and getting better. And, you know, and I think the Giants are the biggest fraud out of those three, because Atlanta's just 3-3. The Giants do one thing well. That's it. They run the football. That is the only thing that team does well. I'll talk about that when we pick that game.
MVP.
My letdown of the
MVP.
Week, I got to give it to the Ravens, man. They just keep, you know, you can play their song if you like, but
oh, man.
The Ravens, man.
And then poor Lamar.
They blow
this contract year started out so
lead.
Well.
They blew another lead. This is the, here yeah. you go. Letdown of the week also goes into this this is just a crazy. This is a mind-boggling stat. The Ravens have lost 3 games. Right?
Mm-hmm.
In all 3 of those games combined, they've trailed for 2 minutes and 8 seconds.
including that last second of the game, which is the time that you don't want to be trailing.
Right. They have they lost the lead against the Giants. It was at 146 to go. They lost the lead, and then they also lost to Buffalo, and then they had the big one where they blew it against Miami. One of those games was with 19 seconds left to go, and the other one was with 3 seconds left to go. So the Ravens in their 3 losses trailed for a total, the whole game, 180 minutes of football. They trailed for 2 minutes and 8 seconds, and they got 3 L's out of that.
I believe I saw another stat where I think that's the first team in history to have 3 of their first 6 games be L's, but they had a double-digit lead in each of those 3 losses.
Man. That's what we call it. That's what we call a reverse Mahomes. Right? Remember when we used to remember, was it not that long ago, 2-3 seasons ago? Maybe, you know, when we used to talk about the Ravens and like if they get up by 10 on you, they just don't lose.
Yeah, they just know how to run the ball and put you away.
It's right. That is the best front-running team in football because then they've got the defense and they can just pin their ears back and then they can play keep away and you cannot come back on the Ravens. And now that's all you can do.
You said the key word there is defense. I think that plays a huge part of it.
Yeah.
But that's not all of it. It's Lamar as well. He's reverting back to the old Lamar. That's sort of my letdown as well, along with the Bears. That Lamar fumbles trying to make the game-winning drive. That was awful. After an awful interception where he dropped the snap, picked it up, rolled out, and thought it was a good idea to throw the ball up in the air. Like, dude, what are you doing? They could be 6-0. Yeah. They really could.
They could be 6-0. And you think about the Giants, right? I mean, the Giants, they're like the Colts to me. They are showing up to these games with a mask and a gun. They are stealing some wins.
Ravens outgained them 406 to 238.
Oh.
And lost that game.
Giants
I'd be
so
crying.
Bad. They are their metrics are so bad. They're bottom 5 of the league overall. Except for one thing. One thing well. That's it, but they're just not good. And everyone's like, "Oh my God, the Giants." No. No, please stop.
You know what else they are? They're 5-1. New York,
5-1. 5-1. They still might end up 7-10 for all you know. But good for them.
Yeah, Kayvon Thibodeau making the last strip. He's in tears, crying after the. I'd be crying too if I were on the Giants winning games like that. That's a stressful way to go, man. To be the worst team on the field consistently and still be getting wins. That's got to be stressful.
Do you have anybody who's struggling?
Whew. Your guy up there in Wisconsin is struggling. I know that much. How do you get bulldozed at home by the Jets?
Struggling.
The very first throw of the game, you remember it? He got so lucky, Rodgers did. The tip of the ball happened to scrape the ground before Robert Tonyan tipped
been,
it
well,
up in the
yeah,
air.
Yeah, that was a weird one because nosedived. Yeah, that was very close to being one awful start to the game. It's funny because you can play Joe again because we're agreeing on this one.
I'm struggling.
I wrote here, not a good time to be a future Hofer. And that goes, and I've got Eric Rodgers, Russ, and the GOAT. Wasn't a good time to be a future Hall of Famer this last week.
Tommy. Oh my God.
Or Broncos Country, Let's Ride. Or Aaron Rodgers. It's not a good time to be a future Hofer. And sometimes, hey, how many times have we seen this? We see it in all sports where sometimes it just ends.
Get outplayed by Mitch Trubisky end? Like,
when
really?
It goes bad, it just goes. It's over, right? Remember we were talking about the Tigers when they had their run?
And then it was just over.
And it was just over. there was nobody made an announcement that they're suddenly just going to be one of the worst teams in baseball. And right now, it not looking good for those. And they've all got their different issues, you know. But
yeah, going
man,
to a
yeah,
wedding
right, no.
the
Rogers,
night before
Rogers
your meetings and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Rogers has started picking up on this thing, and I don't know if you're catching on to it, but they get behind a little bit even, or it's close. And he just starts launching.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I knew he was going to.
I know he's doing it because he was used to those guys in the past, probably going and getting those, or getting a PI call, or doing a back shoulder thing, or just something good happening because he just had the better talent. But it's not working. He did it even last year. He did it in that NFC Championship game. It's like the panic throws from Aaron Rodgers, or like the just get me off the field throws. I don't know what they are.
Well, but, I think it goes back to the way that he put together all these double-digit winning seasons where he was so careful to not make those throws, where he knew where Davante Adams was going to be, but also where all the other guys were going to be. And he knew that if he didn't have the play, just get rid of it and don't throw it up for grabs because you're going to have another chance because you have such talented players on the field. And he doesn't have that talent right now. So
he's
what
to
happens.
Force it a little bit more, yeah.
So he has to force it. So that's what it looks like.
Yeah. Or you've got Russ. I was going to bring up Russ, who's struggling because they're starting to put together entire like photo montages of Russ just missing wide open dudes.
It's been like that the whole season.
Really bad. Yeah. And, and Tommy, he's going through a divorce. I mean, come on.
So that means you blow off team meetings and you lose to Mitch Trubisky.
You go to Robert Kraft's wedding.
He cuts out your O-line.
Yeah. And they're all showing the age in different ways, and it's just not looking really good right now. For I specifically highlighted those three, all coming off of a loss again.
Yeah, it's bad. It's really bad for all three of those. Brady was sort of picking his way through and finding his way to a couple of wins. But, last week it falls apart.
Completely
apart. The numbers look terrible for Brady. For all three of them, their numbers are down from where they usually are. But for Brady, they're really down. And as far as Rodgers goes, that game was a disaster because, like I said, the start of it with that very first throw, that should have been a pick six. And he might have pulled out a handgun if that's how the game started. He was right on the edge, man. And, juice after that. Special teams, again, a nightmare for Green Bay.
Oh, my God. So they go and they get this guy, Bisaccia. Like this, he's the special teams guru, right? They go
get
him from Vegas. And they have the worst graded special teams in the league.
Oh, again?
Again.
Oh. Oh, yeah. How can that be?
They're bad. It hasn't been as glaring, but they're bad.
It was last week.
They're bad. All they need to do now is sign Matt Amendola, and that'd be like chef's kiss.
He's out there. If you want him, go get him. He's available. You had Fuck the Broncos all over the podcast last week as you
and
made
you know
your,
what? They,
your,
and
your
you
lock
know what?
Pick.
They gave they turned me around and gave it right to me because they screwed me.
Fuck you right back,
Yeah, because they sneak under the number, but they lose.
They do, but they cover. Yeah. They found a way. They get a God. That's how somebody named Greg Dulcich who just decided
comes,
to show
back,
up.
Right off of IR or something,
right.
Shows up and just goes insane. It's like, oh, of course.
Running free,
of course, but, you
nobody
know,
covering him.
But, you know, Justin Herbert, he's the better of the two. When you think about it, we talk about, like, the declining guys like Russ and Rodgers and Brady. And what do we talk about in the positive way on this show? Mahomes, you know, Hurts, Herbert. It's changing, and it's changing right before our eyes.
Changing
Burrow.
Of the guard.
It is. It really is the changing of the guard. The only one of those guys who pulled anything out of his ass was Matt Ryan, and that was so mind-boggling to us, we had to give it an award.
Don't count on that in the future necessarily. It was a one-time thing. It may not be something you can build on. We're guessing.
Sometimes, yeah. It's like these people before they die and they start remembering their youth. I think that was what Matt Ryan did.
Oh, wow. Maddie, you didn't know you were about to die, but Jay just declared it. So get your will in order.
He's sundowning or something.
Oh man. So the Clippers fight back and get that win. They shouldn't have won that game just because their kicker blew out his hammy and was just gutting through it and falling down after every kick, Dustin Hopkins. That's a recipe for an L right there. But how bad does that make Amendola look? This guy blew his hammy out, and he's still a better kicker than your ass. How bad is that?
I went back, and I was listening to last week's show, because I go back and I always listen to the shows as I'm getting ready for the next show, and I still can't believe that we had that last week with that Matt Amendola thing. That still blows me. I was in my car driving to work, and I was still laughing about it.
I was laughing, too, at my desk.
That is just so crazy. So this week we were a little bit, we had a few of the same, but nothing like last week. Last week was crazy. Did we talk about every game? No, we didn't talk about the Vikings. Your lock. Just did what they were supposed to do.
Yeah, that was more that the Dolphins.
They tried to lose, but they hung on.
Yeah. Yeah, that was more the Dolphins just can't keep a quarterback on the field, and all their quarterbacks that aren't Tua just are a cut below. They're just not the same. Tua's supposed to come back this week, so we'll see how that works out Sunday night.
But I'm also going to give it to the Vikings, because that's, to me, a typical spot for them, a dome team, to go down to Florida, play out on, you know. That, to me, is a perfect spot for them to go and lose a game like that. So, hey, good for the Vikings. You had them winning the divisions. Right now, you look like the genius.
Well, there's a lot of time to go. There's
that's five and one now. I mean, that's a better 5-1 than the Giants 5-1, but that's still the Vikings haven't been like the most impressive team. But it's better.
They're like the Dolphins. They started out with their new regime and their new offense, and it looked really, really good to open the season, and then sort of adjusted back. Now it's up to them to sort of make the adjustment to the adjustment. The Vikings produced 10-3 and outs in that game. That's why I wasn't really hyping them up so much.
Wow.
They, in between their touchdowns in Miami, they still are not smooth at all. They just happen to be playing a team that can't keep a quarterback on the field, and had a bad fumble by Jalen Waddle as well. So I got away with that one. I think I got a little lucky on that lock, but I'll take it.
It's okay, because I can't get a lock right to save my life.
Yeah.
So it doesn't, it's fine. It's all 1 point. Doesn't matter if you beat me by 12 or if you beat me by one. It's all just 1 point. So I'm just like, okay. I could still come back. Things could turn the other way. We've seen you have some really bad luck and runs with locks in the past. So
that very well may be coming.
I just need that to start like now. Rams got over the Panthers. The Panthers hung in there. I had that they had that cover for so long. They had that cover through three quarters, and it just couldn't hang on. But
yeah, that. But
they're really bad.
Yeah,
the Rams
how much
just,
more?
They're in quit mode. They're quit. They quit.
How much more in turmoil do you need a team to be? Like they've got the coaching sweep out of there to get now Robbie Anderson in that game he doesn't walk off like Antonio Brown. He didn't rip his shirt off and say peace to everybody, but instead he's thrown off the sideline basically by Coach Steve Wills because Anderson got in the face of the wide receivers coach, and now of course he's been traded, and we saw him last night. He didn't do anything, but he was on the field for the Cardinals. And now
Christian McCaffrey's gone too. So that's just tank. It's tank season now. So
absolutely, it's over. I did want to briefly pat myself on the back on that. I do make a score pick for every game. I don't publicize it because I don't feel that confident in them. But I did want to say that one I nailed 24-10 Rams. I got the very rare that I get the exact score right. So that one I did. But like I said, if I made them all public and put them all out there, then I could really pump myself up. But no one knows that I could be lying about it. But I'm not. But I'm not going to go on and on. But
the reason that you're patting yourself on the back means all the other ones are wrong.
Yeah. Well.
So. Right. That shootout in Seattle didn't quite materialize.
You wanted to hammer that over.
God. It was 28. Well, the Cardinals, and then last night they put up 42. Of course. Well, of course, Andy Dalton, you know, what was the stat? He threw 5 touchdowns in that game.
Two of them were
3 to his
so
own
good.
Team and 2 to the other team. And the Eagles did what the Eagles should have done. They handled the Cowboys. So good job, Cooper Rush. You are now going to the bench.
Yes. There's a kid that's trying to do something for the Seahawks in the defensive backfield, Tariq Woolen, the rookie with a 4th straight game with his INT in that victory over Arizona. So that awful D, someone's actually developing for him, so there's something to keep an eye on for them. But nothing's more awful than that Cardinals offense, at least until last night. But again, that wasn't all their offense.
Was that Cardinals offense, or was that Andy Dalton melting down, throwing 2 pick sixes in the span of about a minute?
Yes.
Okay. I lost that pick last night, and I'm still convinced I won that pick because the Saints were the better team.
They had the worst quarterback, so that made all the difference.
Man, and Thursday night, Andy Dalton. How did I forget?
Some of the worst things
that we have ever talked about on this show were Andy Dalton Bengals Thursday night performances, and there I was picking him. I deserved that.
That was back in the Cincinnati days, so it's been a minute for that.
Man, that's why I forgot. And then, of course, that's why, you know, you're sending me a text, and I was like, yep, the PTSD just kicked in.
I remember now.
Yeah. Hang on while I go hang myself.
And one more thing about the Seahawks-Cardinals game from Sunday. One more time, Danielle.
Game 72-71.
That's the second different team this season that had Matt Amendola as their kicker, so therefore decided to keep going for it on 4th down rather than trust their kicker.
Okay,
they had
three
different times where they had field goal range and said, "Nope, we're going for it." Why is he on your team?
Let me ask you a question.
If you don't trust him at all, why is he there?
And he missed an extra point in that game too. Why have a kicker?
Well, you're
better off just going for everything and going for 2 every time you score a touchdown. Why have a field goal kicker if the guy's that shit?
Well, last night they show up and say, you know what, we think we should do something else, and there's the former Colt Rodrigo Blankenship
banging him.
You could have called on him last week. You could have called on him the week before.
Him.
I don't know what you were waiting for.
Yeah.
I don't know what Amendola was showing you, but yeah. I did not understand it at all. Okay, I think we're finally finished with that recap. I had about 3 or 4 what the fucks last week, so I had to use Danielle one more time there.
I've got this form that I use now, and I've actually got it so that I have them all in one spreadsheet now. So I actually have, since week 5, I've been keeping track of all of my awards, and I'll just, that way I can save up the whole season. But that, because I do it that way, that means that I've actually got, you know, like, a column, so it's really easy for me. So I've been trying to keep it to one of each.
Organization. What a concept. I should try that.
Yeah,
someday.
Usually I'm not the organized one. I'm not the one with notes usually. Something's changed this year, and I'm still losing. It's early.
Again, we got a ways to go. We're not even halfway
done. A long way to go. and a crazy new scoring system for the playoffs once we get there. And yeah, it's all different now.
Hey, change is good sometimes. All right, ready for week 7?
Sure.
Don't sound so excited. Jay will try to get over the opening loss for week 7 from last night's crazy-ass game, and I will try to keep the momentum going, and we will do that in a couple of minutes after I tell you where you can listen to our show. You are listening live to In Much Less Detail, the podcast. Not on the radio, but only here on the website, blogtalkradio.com/InMuchLessDetail. To be notified when we're live, you can follow the show on the Blog Talk Radio website, or you can follow my Twitter feed at IMLDDre when I tweet out when we're live before every show. Jason's on Twitter too. His feed is at IMLDJTG. Our show is available as a podcast where you can get the live show and a special VIP after show. To listen to the show as a podcast about an hour or so after the live show is over, come back to the show page and go through our archives, or subscribe on iTunes or any number of different podcasting apps, including Player.fm, Mixcloud, Blueberry, and the TuneIn Radio app. You'll get the whole show, the live show and the after show, downloaded straight to you. You can always send us a question or comment or shout out via email to the following email address, inmuchlessdetail@gmail.com. You can follow all of our picks on our blog. The website for the blog is inmuchlessdetail.blogspot.com. Our Thursday night picks will be available Thursday afternoon on our Twitter feeds. Again, that's at IMLDDre and at IMLDJTG. This copyrighted broadcast is a production of Jay and Me and is solely performed for our entertainment, as well as for any poor soul who happens to be listening. It is intended to be a football pick show for the private, non-commercial use of our audience. Any publication, reproduction, retransmission, or any other use of the descriptions and accounts of this podcast without the express written consent of Jay or me is strictly prohibited. As we said, yep.
I was going to say, you know, I've never commented on the music that you play during that portion.
Uh-oh.
And it reminds me of the music that you hear in training videos, like about proper lifting technique. You know, when you're lifting, make sure that you bend with your knees. Consult your supervisor if you have any questions. And that music would be playing in the background because it would be like everybody would be from the 80s and have mullets and big poofy hair. That's interesting. I've never paid attention to the music during that part of the segment because usually I'll have to off doing other things. And today I'm just sitting here reading stuff on my phone and I hear that music and I'm like, man, this is taking me back to like old HR videos.
I don't know how the 70s funk group that made that song feels about that necessarily, but so there's that. Week 7, as we were talking about before, sort of a tough week on paper, like tough watching, tough game, because there's so many good to great teams that are not playing. We got the Week 7 bye is really full of superstars. The Bills,
yeah, all
the Rams,
best teams are
the
not
Vikings,
playing this week.
Bills, the Rams, the Vikings, and the Eagles are all off this week. So
yeah, that's like
as
20
result,
wins.
Right. So that leaves a week where there is literally one game on the entire schedule in which there are both teams have winning records. One whole game. So good luck to
and one of those teams is a complete fraud, by the way. just saying. Now, so you're saying I picked a good week to go out of town.
You didn't have to watch. You wouldn't have to watch if you were at home. I'll be watching anyway because I'm a football fan.
If I was home on Sunday, I'd still be watching even this shit slate.
Yeah.
I'd still
be
watching.
I'm going to be watching too. That's how big of a fans we are. All right, let's. Good luck to all of us trying to figure this out and pick these games, and we pick them all, folks. So. Tell you right up whatever before we even get started, we pick them all. Let's get started with the battle of the Thanksgiving traditionalists, the Lions and the Cowboys, playing each other down in Dallas and not on Thanksgiving. Lions are 1-4, Cowboys are 4-2. One return that is looks like it's definite is Dak. Dak back.
Dak time.
Dak Prescott. Yeah. is back at quarterback for the Cowboys. All it took was one terrible Cooper Rush game for him to be healed up and ready to go.
Wait a minute. I feel better.
And the coaches were ready for him to come back after that, that's for sure. And the other comeback, this is part of the Friday situation where we got some guys that we don't quite know if they're going to be back because everything is questionable and there's not a lot of clarity yet. DeAndre Swift might return for the Lions at running back from his shoulder injury. Detroit coming off the bye last week are still big underdogs. They are +7 at the Cowboys.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely an interesting matchup. The Lions, yeah, like you said, they get the bye up until they go out to New England and get goosed. They were the top scoring team in the NFL, you know, and now they get
go to zero.
Just completely out of nowhere, just decide, oh, wait a minute. We're gonna just completely shit the bed after we've been blowing people out and having these really high scoring games and just back and forth. And now they get to go to Dallas. They're getting Dak back. We don't know, is he going to be rusty? What's that going to look like? What was the number? Did you have that 6.5 on there or?
Yeah, I got 7.
7. Okay. So that actually works out because your lines are usually half a point off of how I pick, so I'm always making sure that I know the line. Because sometimes that could change. One of these, I actually have a pick where I put check the line because it will make that big of an impact on me making the pick. I had the Lions at 6.5, so I'll definitely take the Lions at 7. If they get the week off, they can definitely recuperate. Their offense is better than what we saw in New England, but that was the dome team going up to play on the grass. Not quite the same going down to Jerry World. I think they'll be able to move the ball. They pass block, run block pretty well. Just got to watch out for that Cowboys pass rush that's, you know, second in the league rated behind the Buffalo Bills. If that's just not relentless and, you know, they've got the weapons, I think Detroit does to hang around in this game and maybe take advantage of a little bit of the rust. They can't run defend much either, so you'd think that would lend itself with Dak coming back to say, hey, let's lean on Zeke and Pollard and let those guys just run the ball. But I don't know if Mike McCarthy's actually smart enough to do that. So I'm going to take the Lions of the points here.
Sort of similar reasoning behind my pick. It's a real nice soft landing for Dak to come back and return against the Lions. And the Cowboys should be sufficiently embarrassed by the Eagles outing and want to come back and make everybody realize, hey, we're better than that. We're the Cowboys. But Dallas and Kansas City, I'm a little afraid for both of them coming off of such high-profile, huge games last week in which they come up on the losing end. Obviously, the Chiefs put forth a great effort. The Cowboys, not so much. But yeah, I'm just a little afraid of the sort of the mental aspect of a Mike McCarthy coach team. Will they be able to mentally bounce back from whatever the hell that was in Philadelphia enough to cover a spread against a Lions team that obviously is feisty and likes to bite your ankles and has some fight in them and should have some extra juice coming off the bye. So I will concur and take the 7 points and take the Lions, not necessarily to win.
And hopefully Dak's not letting any of that Jerry Jones, you know, maybe we should stick with Cooper Rush nonsense seep into his brain.
But who knows?
I'm not Dak's biggest fan. That's ridiculous.
That is pretty dumb. Yeah. All right. From there, Giants, Jaguars is the line of the week that made me laugh out loud because the Giants are 5-1 and should be everyone's darlings, 2-0 on the road. And the Jaguars are a lowly 2-4, 1-1 at home, and looked really interesting and hot to start the year, but have fallen on hard times. So, again, wide receiver situations with the Giants, Kadarius Toney, Kenny Galladay once again will not play. They've overcome that all year and just rode the running of Saquon Barkley. But apparently the betting public doesn't think that's going to go very well or last too long because the 5-1 Giants are +3 at the 2-4 Jaguars.
Yeah, I think the people are doing the whole, like, they're waiting for that clock to strike midnight with the Giants, because it just keeps not happening. I look at the Giants. I said this in the first hour. They only do one thing really well, right? They run the ball. That is the only thing that the Giants, give them credit, most of the time when their offense is on the field, they've got the best player, right? And as long as he's healthy, they've been running that guy and riding that to victory. Even when they have both quarterbacks out of the game and they can just go wildcat with Saquon Barkley, it's worked for them and they've been able to win. However, they're actually playing a good run defense this week. The Jags, top five run D, their defense has been solid. They've had some tackling issues in some of the games, especially notably in that Houston game. But is that a one-game issue? And they were expecting to beat the hell out of that team, and they got fed some humble pie. That's more of what I think it would likely be. If the Jags are able to slow down that Giants running attack at all, now it starts to become about other phases of the game. The Giants don't pass particularly well, and the Giants don't pass defend particularly well. And the Jags have surprisingly at least league average or a little bit better in their passing efficiency. I'm going to take the Jags here and not feel very good about it.
Well, this seems to be the popular trend. I couldn't believe they were actually favored against the Giants with those two records. But yeah, that's what the people think of the G-men, the one-dimensional G-men with Saquon Barkley. Yeah, you're absolutely right. The Jaguars are tough against the run, and the Giants are very, very mediocre trying to throw the football. No matter who's back there at quarterback, I guess Danny Dimes is limping around back there still for him. But yeah, how long can the Giants rely on Saquon to do that? I don't want to wish ill will on him, but how long is that going to keep up? He's been taking the team basically on his back. Can he keep doing that? Both new coaches have their teams much better prepared than last year, so that's refreshing to see for both of them. But in the end, I guess I'm going to concur and say that the Jaguars will it out at home. Anyone that could shut out the great Matt Ryan after what he did last week must be a great coach and a great team, right? So.
They did that, what, in week two?
Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna concur and go with the Jags and give the three. All right, from there, the Packers and the Commanders, the Washingtons, are 2-4, and the Packers are 3-3. And they're both 1-2. Packers 1-2 on a road. Washington 1-2 at home. Injury issues. Randall Cobb is down now with an ankle injury for the Packers, as if their wide receivers haven't been struggling enough. But Sammy Watkins is trying to return from his hammy. That's another one of those situations. We don't know if he'll be out there or not, but he's going to try to be. For the Washingtons, the busted finger of Carson Wentz was not enough to keep him from beating Chicago, but it's enough to keep him off the field now, because they actually had to have surgery for it. So your buddy, your favorite quarterback, Beer Man,
Tyler Heinicke.
He's back at quarterback for the Washingtons. And he will be missing De'Ami Brown at wide receiver, and he might be missing Jahan Dotson, the rookie. He's got a hamstring situation. So good luck, kid. Welcome back into the starting lineup. Packers, despite all their struggles, are -4.5 on the road at Washington.
Well, I'm definitely going to say, when we go back and we look at the preseason predictions, you were way more right on the you had the Packers more right, and it's not so much because of their offense. Surprisingly, it's been because of their defense, because that run defense is putrid, and I've been saying this. I'd say it. I'm not taking the Packers till they show they can stop the run. They didn't stop the run last week against Breece Hall, but I guess just one last time for old time's sake, I'm taking the Packers here, because looking at the Packers' schedule, this might be the last time I take them for a month and a half. Their schedule, oh, God. After this, at Bills, at Lions, Cowboys, Titans, Eagles, those could be 5 L's for the Packers. I think they understand what they are up against. And if they are going to get this turned around, this is pretty much their last shot. Because if they go to 3-4, I don't see them going up to Orchard Park next week and beating the Bills. Just saying, I don't like to pick games 2 weeks in advance.
Well, sounds like you just did.
But
it.
I don't see them going up there and handling the Bills. I mean, maybe they do. Maybe they trade for somebody. I don't know. You know, the Panthers are selling everything. You know, maybe Elijah Moore could. Oh God, it's just they're just not moving the ball very well. But Washington, fortunately, kind of stinks. So I'm going to take the Packers, like I said, for old time's sake and nothing else.
Potato skins definitely stink. And I love that he's Eli Moore potential scenario, that trade scenario. That would be a real good fit. I am now going to say the exact same thing you said using different words, which I seem to do every week. Do you know how awful the Packers' future would look if they take this soft three-game schedule, this soft part of their schedule with the Giants,
yeah,
Jets, and Washington, and go 0-3?
Yeah.
Even I
should have lost to the Patriots too.
Well, yeah, but this particular part of the schedule, which you're just mentioning, with how hard it gets after this, even I didn't think they were going to lose all three of those. So I'm going to take the Packers and give the points and concur with you, just because they can't lose all three of these.
They can't. I mean, they were up on the Giants and actually put together a really good half of football until the wheels came off of that thing. And then they come home and it's like, oh man, we got the Jets. And, you know, I don't know, but maybe they took that team lightly. I don't think they're going to go to Washington and take this team lightly. Get this thing figured out, because your season, I mean, you don't have must-win games in week 7, but this is it.
You do when you look like they've looked.
Yeah, because, you know, you're whatever you said, 9-8.
9-8.
That could become 7-10 really quick for this team.
Ooh, boy. Yeah, it will. If they lose all three of those, I'm definitely downgrading that 9-8.
They're not going to Buffalo and winning. I don't even think they can go to Detroit and win. Not if they got to get DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams barreling. No, it's not pretty.
This would be even uglier than the GOAT losing to Mitch Trubisky last week. This would be worse if Rodgers loses to
Beard.
They
go and lose to Tyler Heineken? Fuck. I'm not locking it up, though. No way.
Ah, okay. We'll go from there to Cleveland and Baltimore. The Art Modell Bowl takes place twice a year. This is the first meeting. Browns at 2-4, Ravens at 3-3. Miles Garrett is still trying to bounce back from that shoulder that he messed up when he rolled his car a few weeks ago. Looks like he's going to play, but he hasn't been the same since. Rashad Bateman trying to return at wide receiver for the Ravens. They need all the help they can get. They became the latest team to go into the well and sign some old receiver off the street, because that's how desperate they've gotten. So 35-year-old DeSean Jackson, now the newest Baltimore Raven. Smells a lot like when they went and got Steve Smith. I don't know if you remember back when the last days of Steve Smith's career was as a Raven, I believe.
Yeah, but Steve Smith, I mean, DeSean Jackson runs one route.
Yes.
Go.
This is true. Browns in this one are the big underdog, +6.5 at the Ravens.
Okay, so this is the one where I had to check the line, because if this got to 7, I was going to take the Browns.
Well, because
at 6.5, I'm taking the Ravens. I think the Ravens will win this game by around a touchdown. This feels like a touchdown game to me. So at that point, at 6.5, I'll take the Ravens. The Ravens like to jump out and get ahead of people. The Browns are not the team that I think can exploit the weaknesses in that Ravens secondary. I can't take Jack Brisket and that receiver core, which is basically just Amari Cooper and kind of guys, to handle the Ravens, not in their building. I know that the Ravens just did this with the Giants, and that was a very similar team, because that was a very good running team with a mediocre passing attack. But I don't think Cleveland's passing attack is very good at all. I know it grades okay, but I think that's more of an efficiency thing than an actual like explosiveness issue, like what they had when they had problems with the Bills or they had problems with the Dolphins. I feel like, and this is, again, you talk about a team that's like, you need this. I think the Ravens can get up on this team and stay up, or at least hold on for dear life enough to keep this a touchdown game. I feel very poorly about this. I mean, the point where I mean 6.5 or 7 determine my pick. So,
yeah, you're standing on one foot trying to touch your toe, touch your nose.
Yeah.
You're balancing here.
It hurts picking some of these teams like right now. It hurts picking the Jags and it hurts picking the Ravens.
Again, it's
hurts
a crazy
the Packers.
Week. Yeah, it's one of those weeks. Yeah, anytime the Ravens want to play four whole damn quarters, that's fine by me. DeSean Jackson's one deep touchdown catch per year. It may come in this game. They may need that. So I'm going to take those points because I understand and hear your point about Cleveland rallying from a deficit with Jack Brisket. It seems very unlikely, but I'm taking the Browns anyway because the other side of those comebacks, it's been almost 50-50 between the terrible Ravens secondary and Lamar Jackson coughing it up. So the other side of that is Lamar coughing it up. I still think he's going to find a way to cough up that lead and wind up either winning the game by like 2 or 3 points or losing it altogether. He's still just making mistakes. There's something going on psychologically about the start to his season and everybody talking about Lamar getting the bag and making the Ravens pay and the pumpkin is turning into a coach or the other way around, I should say. There's something about him breaking down sort of mentally and the pressure I think is getting to him. Some of those mistakes are just not very smart. Like I said, that decision last week to pick up the fumbled snap and try to roll and throw it up for grabs. Like, why would anyone do that except
the interception against Buffalo?
Yeah.
In the end zone in the fourth. Yeah, I get it.
Why are you making these throws?
This is probably the pick. I one of the ones I really like struggled with. Like,
yeah, I don't see how you can trust him -6.5 right now or 7.
And I, you know, the hard part is I want the Ravens to just destroy somebody.
I do
wash this taste out of their mouths because they're
my Super Bowl team.
We both know they're better than this.
Yeah. And that's my squad. I picked them to win it all. It's my teammate. It's my quarterback.
At least I got the Bills. At least that still looks okay.
That looks pretty damn good.
Okay. I know it's chalk, but.
Everyone loved them and for good reason. For good reason. All right. We talked about Tommy. Can he find a way that he lost to Mitch Trubisky? Can he lose to P.J. Walker? Can he really hit the skids and maybe quit and retire right after the game is over? There's been rumors that he's thinking about walking away, but he shot them down. So we'll see how it all works out. The 3-3 Buccaneers go to Charlotte to face the tanking 1-5 Panthers. They do have injury issues in Tampa. They lost their cornerback Logan Ryan to a foot injury. He's on injured reserve. Their tight end Cameron Brait will not play. He's got a neck injury. They're still holding Julio Jones out with his knee injury until whenever. I don't know when they're going to use him. Of course, the Panthers issues, more P.J. Walker at quarterback. Baker Mayfield not ready to come back for them. The new running back situation now that they traded CMC looks to be your buddy Hubba Bubba, Chuba Hubbard.
Hubba Bubba.
Chuba Hubbard and Dante Foreman as a committee,
yeah.
And ooh, what a committee that is. But they'll get LaVisca Chenault back as a receiver, so that's
ooh.
Something. Turn all
is he
going
to throw
around.
The ball to himself?
He might have to. Despite Tampa's struggles, this is still the biggest spread of the week. They are -13 at Carolina.
Yeah, it's not enough. I'm not locking this one up because that's a lot of points, but last week was their chance. You fired the coach. You still had all your players temporarily. And like I said, usually you get that little bit of a dead cat bounce right after the coaching firing. And no, now it's sell mode. Their best player is gone. Their volatile but still talented receiver is gone. It's P.J. Walker against still what's a pretty good defense. You can't really run on these guys. Hubba Bubba ain't going to do it. P.J. Walker's not going to really, you know, who cares if Logan Ryan's not out there? He's not lighting up this defense. 13's a lot, but this has just got that, I don't know, 21-3 vibe to it, where the Panthers just can't do anything, and the Bucks just chip away and chip away and chip away and just kind of cover this number by
21-3 sounds good. How about 31-6? I'll put that score out there.
I have one of my DFS lineups this week loaded with Bucks.
Because the Panthers are trying to be the worst team in the league.
Yeah, they are tanking. They want the number one pick. You don't do all of this unless you are, you know, I'm surprised you don't go and sign Chris Brown to kick field goals, you know. That's a deep cut.
They need to go get Amendola. That's the guy.
Chef's kiss.
Oh, they need to get that guy now. If they're serious about tanking, they need to sign Matt Amendola as their place kicker, that's for sure.
Man.
And their punter. Just put them back there for every kick. Brady won't have to pay attention or be in meetings for this one because this should be an absolute rout. The Panthers are trying to lose.
Squash.
In addition to all their offensive struggles, the Panthers even have the most defensive penalties in football so far this year at 47. So they're just trying to fuck up on every level.
God.
They're just bad. So Tampa all the way, Tampa squish. I'm not locking it either because it's Tommy and Eagles look like shit this year.
Yeah.
But
because we just watched this team lose to Mitch Trubisky.
Exactly. So can't lock them. All right, from there, Falcons, Bengals.
Are you saying can't lock this, don't?
Shout out to Cool Papa Bell. Atlanta visits Cincinnati. They're both 3-3, right on the edge of mediocrity. Bengals lost their linebacker Logan Wilson this week with a shoulder injury. He's their best tackler, so that may play a factor against a team that's running as well as the Falcons are. But despite that, the Falcons are still 6.5-point dogs at Cincinnati.
Yeah, ironically, or interestingly, whatever you want to say, Atlanta hasn't lost a game yet by the number of this spread. So Atlanta's lost 3 games by 1, 4, and 6. And they're the auto cover Falcons. So you know what? I'm just going to auto fade the Falcons until they just finally blow one of these. I'm just going to pick against them because they can't cover all. They can't go 17-0 against the damn spread. I'm taking the Bengals. They seem to have rediscovered something in their passing game last week. And Atlanta secondary that's very ripe for the plucking and on the road, out of the dome in Cincinnati. I get it. This team is Atlanta. They're gutty as all hell. They just don't. I don't think this is a good matchup for them. They're not great pass rushing, and that's usually how you get after the Bengals. You beat the hell out of Joe Burrow. I don't know if they're going to be able to do that enough. And at Cincinnati, after starting off pretty awful, I think with the Super Bowl hangover, is now they're starting to look more like the Bengals from last year. And it took them a little bit last year to kind of round into shape. But yeah, I think that the Bengals can throw the ball all over the place against the Falcons. I think they cover this number.
I will now once again say the same thing you did using different words. The cover machine Falcons should get shredded by Joe Burrow and his guys. That pass defense, not very good. Can Cincinnati's D figure out Mariota? That's a big question for Atlanta to come back and possibly backdoor cover. But in the end, I did have to go look and see about Atlanta's pressure and are they any good at it, any better at it. They have not been good at it in the last few years. And the answer is they still suck at it. 31 pressures on the entire season through 6 games. That trails the Rams.
Yeah.
It's the only team worse in the league at getting pressure. So I will concur and take the
Bengals. Yeah, if you go PFF grades, they're 31st.
Yeah.
The only team worse, the Bears.
No, that's interesting. By the straight stat of pressure, they're 31st in the league, and the only team that's worse than them is the L.A. Rams. So,
either way
you want to cut it, next to
yeah,
last.
That's bad. Not DFL, but ADFL.
Next to
the
DFL,
means
yeah.
Almost. They're almost dead fucking last.
All right. It is now time for the main event of the week, the only game featuring two teams with winning records.
Can't wait.
Colts and the Titans?
For dominance in the AFC South.
Mm-hmm. So Indy 3-2-1, Tennessee 3-2.
Can't wait.
And yeah, they're gonna get it on, and everyone's gonna look forward to it or not. In this one, it looks like Jonathan Taylor is going to come back and play for the Colts. He's been out coincidentally or ironically ever since the first Titans game of the season in Week 4, in which Tennessee beat Indy 24-17. Getting off to a 24-3 lead and then doing nothing and just holding on for dear life because the Titans like to do that.
Yes.
Behind 114 yards on the ground from Derrick Henry. Colts will still not have two big defensive pieces, though, Darius Leonard and Kwity Paye, both on the bench for this one. In their rematch, the Colts are a very slight dog plus two at the Titans.
Yeah, it's a slim line. I've decided on. You know, you don't, first of all, there's no way Matt Ryan is going to repeat what he did last week, especially the zero sacks, because Tennessee's pass rush has gotten better. It's not great, but it's definitely improving. They can definitely get better getting pressure on the quarterback than they were in the past. I also decided it just breaks down just this simply. There's one team and one player I don't want to play coming off of a bye, and that's Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry has now had 2 weeks to rest and come into this game, and that's going to be some fresh legs against that Colts team and Matt Ryan, who's not, you know, Ponce de Leon and the fountain of youth, the cup runneth dry, taking the Titans here and giving the two.
Yeah, fair enough. Look, good luck figuring out what the Colts are going to be any day of the week. They could get shut out. They could score five touchdowns. There's no telling what the Colts are going to do. You say Matt Ryan isn't going to do that again. I don't know. I have no idea what Matt Ryan's capable of at this point. And the Titans, they're not much more consistent. But again, they love getting some big leads and then just trying to hold on for dear life. So this one, you know, I'm going to split the difference, and I think the Titans probably should find a way to hold on and win, but just based on the Colts' variance and the Titans' variance and the weirdness of some of these games between these two division rivals, I'm going to take the points, even though it's only two, because I can see the Indy winning the game,
I can see
Tennessee getting a last-second field goal and beating them by, like, one.
23, 22.
Yeah. Would not surprise me at all.
I mean, it's the ultimate getting cute. I'm just hoping that last-second field goal is in a tie game. And Randy Bullock gets them a three-point win.
That could happen. So this one is truly, I'm just kind of putting my shoulders up. I don't know. I'm taking the Colts just because they're the dogs, and I get to get points. All right, from there, Houston plays Las Vegas. Texans 1-3-1, and Vegas 1-4. This starts our late afternoon action for the Raiders. Their tight end Darren Waller is down for this one. He's got a hamstring injury. They may get Hunter Renfrow, the wide receiver, back up from his hip injury. Huge spread in this one. Not so huge. It's plus 6.5. Texans are plus 6.5 at the Raiders.
Yeah, I tried to think of all kinds of ways that I could get cute and take Houston in this game, which I've thought about in other games with Houston, but I just can't do it. This should be, I would expect with Darren Waller being out, if this isn't the Josh Jacobs show, fire Boy Wonder. Because Houston is, by just about every metric, if not the worst, one of the worst teams against the run in the league. They cannot stop the run. You can run up and down, left and right, forward, back, side to side, all over this team. And, you know, we've seen other teams do it, right? This is the Josh McDaniels that threw the ball three times coaching that Patriots team last year. If they only throw the ball three times against Houston, they might win this game by four touchdowns because Houston's run D is that bad. So I'm going to give the points. I hate it because that's seven with a team that's 1-4, but Houston sucks.
You get the half point clips off of that at 6.5. So.
Oh, 6.5. Okay, and I had it at 7. Even better.
It's a gift. Texans are coming off the bye, by the way.
That does not impact me.
Keep the cameraman
out of...
They'll
be better rested for that beating.
Just keep the cameraman out of Davante Adams' path. That's all we care about in this one. Just make sure he gets out of the way of that. I'm still waiting on General Mills to show out. He hasn't really done much this year. I said give him – he earned the right to get a whole year to show what he's got. And it hasn't been a whole year. It hasn't been half the year. But so far from what he's had, he hasn't shown much at all. So, not good so far. They're only averaging 6.3 yards per throw as an offense. That's very, very low. Yeah, Vegas missed tackles would be a problem against Damian Pierce because they missed 34 tackles on the year. But to your point, Texans are really bad at run defense, and their missed tackles on Josh Jacobs would be even worse. They've missed 39 tackles on the season, which I think is only 2 under the league leader. So, yes, I concur. Raiders should run all over them. They should go for 200 yards on the ground, and I will also give the 6.5.
Wow.
Let's see, we've disagreed on 2, I think, so far.
2.
Yep. Well, got a ways to go, and neither of us have used our lock yet, so.
No.
We're building the suspense. Jets and Broncos. Let's see if our locks come here. Jets 4-2. Broncos 2-4. Jets are flying high. Broncos are scrambling and scratching through the blindness. Jets are 3-0 on the road now. Broncos, both of those wins are at home, so there is that much. As we talked about, Eli Moore is the latest disgruntled wide receiver that wants to figure out a way out of town, even though the team is 4-2. And, yeah, he's been deactivated already. He's not going to play in this game. Here's the most the biggest Friday mystery that would get some clarity tomorrow probably, but – we'll see what happens. Russell Wilson is actually a game time decision with a hamstring injury that he picked up in that game Monday night. And Brett Rippon, the backup quarterback, Brandon Allen member Brett Rippon, has been taking snaps with the first team offense this week. So he's ready to go if they have to make that call. But they haven't made it yet. There is a line out for this game, I guess, based on Russ playing. And it is the 4-2 Jets as a 1-point underdog at the 2-4 Broncos.
Yeah, this one's pretty wild, right? I mean, are the Broncos better without Russ?
It's hard to see how much worse they would be.
Yeah. You know, I got to say, Denver is only good at one thing. We've crapped on them all year, but they're really good at one thing, especially at home, and that's playing defense. They have shut down. They've lost games. But they have just absolutely shut people down. That whatever carried over from that Vic Fangio defense, that is not the problem with this Denver team. Their problem lays with their offense, and they're coached by a complete moron. You know, I cannot anti-lock up Denver this week, unfortunately, because I anti-locked up Denver last week. But the Jets are kind of in turmoil, too. You know, they're sometimes you got to worry about these young teams who are riding high. They destroyed the Dolphins, and they went to Lambeau, and they crushed the Packers. They have got to be feeling it right now. But that,
we bad.
I think that Denver,
we bad.
I know, but I think that Denver defense is a different animal. You know what? If you can't beat them, join them. I'm taking the Broncos and locking them up.
That is a spite pig if I've ever heard one. You were just saying fuck the Broncos last week, and now you're locking them up? Come on, man.
You know what? The Jets, they got this Elijah Moore nonsense. They got these two big wins. And if you go, I mean, you really look at it, you look into the numbers, especially at home, that Denver defense at home locks people down. They just can't score points.
First of all, I know all about the Broncos defense locking people down because in fantasy, I need a defense to replace the Buffalo Bills this week, and I'm using the Denver Broncos. which gives away my pick for this game as well. But I'm not locking it up because I'm not spiting
them.
You
were so sure I was taking the Jets.
Oh, they just went up there to Wisconsin and beat up Aaron Rodgers. Come on, of course you're taking the Jets.
No.
Yeah, this is what happens when you fall behind in the lock so far. You can just play fast and loose now. You
can
do
anything. I can take
anything.
Whatever I want.
That's right. You can be a wizard and just come up with magical shit. You're gonna conjure up a Broncos win and lock it down.
You know what though? They're gonna win. They're gonna win 9-7, and I'm gonna just run all the way to the bank with that lock win, baby.
Behind Brett Rippon's 120 yards throwing.
You can't take it from me. Money in
yeah,
the bank.
It's another jacked up offense for Sauce Gardner and the Jets to try to terrorize, but Denver's defense can terrorize and blow up Zach Wilson. So I'm going to concur and take Denver and give the one. I can't believe
you know
locked
what's
him
funny?
Up, man.
You know, I just was like looking at this. I was looking at this week like, what the hell do you lock up this week? I know
yeah.
one thing. That's Denver plays like stifling defense at home. So why the hell not? And the Jets are due for a letdown. And in a week,
yeah.
here's what I'm thinking, and you can call me crazy, but in a week that's this wild, this is the closest thing we have to a pick'em.
Yeah, well, there's one more game with a 1-point spread.
Yeah, but all you got to do is pick the winner in this game, and I think
sure.
even though Denver, like I think they're getting their coach fired after they go to London, I still think that they can eke one out here. I think they could win this by a field goal. And for Denver, that's a huge cover.
But if they win by only one, I'm really going to come back and laugh next weekend.
You know, though, I will say this. You can make fun of my lock picks all year. You have not disagreed with me on one yet.
It's true. And then the one you disagree with me on, of course, came through because I should never lock the Jets.
Yeah.
But you're locking against the Jets, so
I'm going. Nope, I'm taking. You know, I broke. I didn't break the rule because last week I locked
right.
up against the Broncos. This
yeah.
week I am locking up for the Broncos. Like I said, can't beat them, join them.
Craziness. At least we're entertaining each other as we make these picks this week, and hopefully entertaining those who are listening. All right, the one other game this week with a 1-point spread: Chiefs visiting the 49ers. Chiefs now 4-2 after that game with Buffalo last week, and the Niners are 3-3, 2-0 at home. Chiefs lost their quarterback Rashad Fenton last week to a hamstring injury. For the 49ers, CMC is in the house, but for how long, how much is he going to play? I was reading some things about maybe red zone only that Kyle Shanahan might use. Christian McCaffrey doesn't have time to really catch him up with the whole playbook. So we'll see him. We might not see him very much, but we will see him.
Yeah.
Nick Bosa is supposed to return from his groin injury for the Niners D, and Trent Williams, the left tackle, is supposed to return from his ankle injury. So it's kind of an all hands on deck situation for the Niners as they play maybe their biggest game of the season. Chiefs are -1. It's still basically a pick 'em at
yeah.
the 49ers.
You know, I'm taking the Chiefs. I was more, I'd have been more apt to take the Niners had the Chiefs won last week. But I think they're coming off of the loss. That stung. They get to go on the road. I think it's gonna be an ugly game. I don't know what to make of this Christian McCaffrey thing. I understand adding him to the evil genius, and you know, you get the Shanahanigans going on, but I've got the feeling that every touch for Christian McCaffrey is one less touch for Deebo Samuel. And I don't know if that's a good thing, because that's, I think, still their best playmaker. And Christian McCaffrey's going to get hurt. That's just a matter of time. I mean, the track record of the 49ers and keeping running backs healthy, not the best. Just saying. It's something in the water? I don't know. Maybe it's all the poop on the streets and the sidewalks in San Francisco? I don't know. Just saying, it's something in the air out there that they just can't keep running backs healthy. So let's go get like the most injury-prone superstar running back in the league. Enjoy it for 5 weeks, guys. But I'm going to take the Chiefs to bounce back off that loss to the Bills because that had to sting. And I think they're the better team.
Maybe he won't be so injury-prone now that he won't be the workhorse and the bell cow. They won't give him the ball 30 times a game. So there's that possibility.
And
definitely count me among those excited and salivating at the thought of the creativity of Kyle Shanahan with Debo and Christian McCaffrey on the same team. You know they're going to be in the backfield at the same time at some point. You know he's going to draw up something where they're both there at the same time. And knowing how crazy and weird he can get, he's probably going to draw a play where the first time they're back there, he uses McCaffrey as like the lead back or the fullback and pitches it out to Debo on the perimeter or something crazy like that. But yeah, it's not going to happen to Sunday because again, he just got there, the trade just got made, and he's not going to have enough of the playbook, so his action should be pretty limited. But even with that, I'm still scared to death of the Chiefs coming in and falling off. I'm scared of them bouncing back off of the loss. I'm scared both ways as far as the Chiefs go. I definitely hear your point. I definitely hear the point of them coming back off of the Buffalo Bills loss and saying, okay, we got we had our chance to take down the Bills in our house and we couldn't do it. We got to lick our wounds and rebound and do what we got to do. But I'm also scared to death of a fall off coming off such a tough loss. That's kind of a crushing loss. Like everything was geared up for the end for Pat to do what he did last year and say, oh yeah, top this. And he winds up throwing the INC to lose the game. I'm not saying Mahomes is fragile at all, but I'm just kind of scared about what that does to the team that, we were there. We were right there. We were going to come back and do it to him again, and couldn't do it this time. So I can see both ways, really. So I'm definitely not saying one way or another that I feel strong about it. Even pressuring Pat can backfire if he decides, okay, we were kind of playing back and being careful as we – now I'm just going to chuck it up and just keep going down the field and really destroy the 49ers. But I'm going to go with San Fran. I don't feel great about it, but I feel like there's a little bit excitement in the air, a little bit of juice from the trade, and just a little bit of a fall. You lose that game at home, and then now you got to go make the flight. You got to go out to California, unfamiliar territory, other conference team that you're not familiar with, and the Niners D can be tough, very tough. So I'm going to take the San Francisco 49ers in this one. I think it's going to be a real good game.
That actually might be the best game of the week.
Yeah. Wait, you mean not the game with the two teams with the best record?
Yes, that's what I mean. I did not stutter.
Oh, okay. All right, from there, the Seahawks and the Chargers, Seattle 3-3, LA 4-2. They'll be playing this one at SoFi. This is probably the second biggest Friday mystery. Tyler Lockett hasn't been practicing this week. He's got a hamstring injury, so I don't know if he's going to be able to make it on the field for Seattle. Clippers, their wide receiver, Josh Palmer, is dumplings. He's not going to play, but the Keenan Allen, their other wide receiver with his bad hammy, he's been trying to get back on the field. He should be able to come back finally. He was close to coming back last week. And this one, Geno Smith and the Seahawks are plus 4.5 at the Clippers.
Yeah, that's I had 5, but I got this as a field goal game, so that's okay. Seattle, they're going to be able to move the ball. The Chargers' defense is but it's not like what it was. That the pass rush isn't what it was. It's not elite. They're middle of the road. They're okay. The Chargers' run defense is not very good. So this, I have a feeling that we get a little Kenneth Walker. Get the ball moving, get DK Metcalf. They still have passing weapons, even if Tyler Lockett's banged up. I never know what that idiot coach for the Chargers is going to do. Is he going to just decide randomly to go for a fourth down at his own 30-yard line in the second quarter, and that turns the game around because he's dumb? I'm going to take the Seahawks to lose this by 3 and take the points.
I don't think Brandon Staley's dumb. He's definitely goes for it more than
he's
anybody else.
He's overly aggressive.
Okay, that may be true. Again, I'm having trouble believing in Geno Smith as the best quarterback on the field. He's clearly he's been more consistent than all these other quarterbacks he's been playing. I just haven't been believing in it. So at some point you gotta believe at least a little. He just keeps playing at such a high level. 7.9 yards per throw is not going to be a fluke after a while. So, but this put it over the top for me. Justin Herbert is not going deep ever since that rib injury, ever since the broken cartilage and whatnot. He's down a half yard per throw from the time of that injury already on the season. He's down to 6.7 yards per throw on the season. And if you keep up with that stat, you know that he's usually up at 7.7 plus. He's one of those that likes to go down the field a lot. Now, that might be Keenan Allen not being around. It might be the coverages. But it also
what, 16 targets of Austin Eckler last week?
That's definitely a part of it. Is a lot of checking down, a lot of check downs. What we don't know is if that's just the defense shading deep and then, breaking up the field, or if that's the injury, if that's the ribs. But one way or another, they're really down in air yards. The distance is very, very low ever since the injury. So not only am I going to take Seattle in the points, I think Geno Smith, he's been surprising everybody. Yeah, they can win that game straight up. So there's all my praise in Geno Smith and all my love. I'm locking the Seattle Seahawks up because I think they probably shouldn't even be the underdog necessarily, at least not by 4.5.
If I would have told you before the season started that you were going to lock up the Jets and Geno Smith in the first 7 weeks, you never would have believed me.
I still think that's more believable than you locking Russell Wilson.
Broncos country, let's ride.
On Sunday night, the Steelers and the Dolphins get it on. The Steelers 2-4, the Dolphins 3-3. Concussion theater for everybody to enjoy. Because Kenny Pickett is expected back from his concussion for the Steelers, and Tua, who we last saw throwing up gang signs, is expected back from his concussion for the Dolphins. They should get Terrell Armstead back at left tackle, which is probably as important just about as getting Tua back, because they need someone to protect Tua, obviously, from getting beat up yet again. In this one...
Andre, just disconnect? Well, we got 3 minutes left in the show, so hopefully he's going to be able to get back in here quick. Hopefully I'm still talking. But I didn't hear the lady, the Blog Talk Radio lady, tell me that that the show's over. But if Dre doesn't get back in the next 3 minutes, then the show actually is over. Because he's the host, and I don't think he can come back in the after show. So he's got 2 minutes left in counting. I'm taking the points. I'm taking the Steelers. I didn't hear the line. I had this at 7.5, either way. Not really a big difference to me. I'm worried about Tua. If the wind blows too hard, he might be out of the game again. And then who knows, all bets are off at that point. All you gotta do is get your hand on him once. And he's flashing the gang signs. I'll throw out my Monday night pick here quick, too, just to get it on the record. It's the Bears as a road dog against an AFC opponent on Monday night football. That means they're going to win the game, taking the Bears and all the points at New England. Dre, you might have to put those out on – well, they'll be out on the website, so everybody, in much less detail at blogspot.com. I believe that's still our website, but that's where the picks will be. So Dre doesn't have to worry too much.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. All right. I have Pittsburgh and I have the Bears. Go.
There we go. Pittsburgh and Chicago. Okay. I have no idea what the hell happened with our connection. I have the opposite. I have the Dolphins and the Patriots. So we will definitely get into all of that in our after show, which I'm lucky to get back on the air before the after show started, or else we wouldn't have anything.
I was counting it down with the listeners. Like, if he doesn't, he's got 2 minutes, 37 seconds right now. Like, if he doesn't get back in this show, it's over.
Mm-hmm. Nope, I've found a way to get back in using a different connection. My connection dropped. I have no idea why, but
yeah, I get a lot of drops on weekdays when I'm home. I don't get too many at night. Unless the power goes out or something, but yeah, I get a lot of weird weekday ones, like at 10 o'clock in the morning, like internet just goes out for half an hour. No reason.
Yeah. No, we get them sometimes, but it hadn't happened in a while, so that was a weird one. All right, thank you for listening, and catch us on our after show. We'll be back. Now we're in the VIP after show where if I drop, we are completely done.
We are dead and done. Now, what did you have the lines on those games?
Oh, Pittsburgh +7 and a hook.
That's what I have.
Miami Bears also +7 and a hook.
Okay, so I had the same spread on both of those. Yeah, no, I took Pittsburgh because I said I'm worried about the wind blowing too hard in that game.
The wind blowing?
Yeah, because if the wind blows too hard, it would re-concuss Tua, and he's one tap away from being out of the game again. I fear for him. I know Jalen Waddle's banged up too. I don't know if you talked about that at all, but yeah, I like the points, you know, and just not knowing Tua, like is where is he? You know, is he still dumplings? What's really going on? I don't trust that organization. So yeah, it just feels like a lot of points for a lot of uncertainty. And then of course the Bears. Yeah. The Bears are on the road against an AFC opponent on Monday Night Football as a huge underdog.
Uh-oh. You're Bear Western.
Huh.
Doing some Bear Whispering.
That's right. You know it. That's the recipe.
You should have locked that one then. That's your
move. No. That's because that is a corollary with no stats behind it. But always, it doesn't always work, but it works more than it doesn't.
Yeah, it sure seems like it works more than it doesn't.
60% of the time, it works every time.
Love that Sex Panther. So as far as the Steelers and the Fish with Tua coming back, just in time for another national audience to throw up watching a sickening brain injury, here's Pickett and Tua dueling concussions.
Yeah.
Now, as I've been saying, that Dolphins offense under Mike McDaniel doesn't look the same at all with any other quarterback except Tua. I don't know what kind of magic they worked in the offseason, but Tua looks like a completely different guy under that offense, and everyone else looks like crap. It double dumplings live on NBC for everybody to see. Who knows what line Collinsworth is going to come up with for that one.
Yeah,
no,
I was going to say, what's Collinsworth going to have to say about that? Because then he's going to have to, come back from commercial, and be like, folks, in that last segment, I said some things I regret. I consider myself a man of faith. And there's a drive in the deep left center by Castellanos. And that's going to be a home run.
Tom. I don't know what they're going to wind up saying. But, no, I just feel like Tua has been itching to come back. He's going to come back. They're going to let him come back. It doesn't matter how unhealthy his brain is. They're going to let him do whatever he wants to do. I think that's obvious. Hopefully they know to protect him and not let him get swung around.
You hope so.
You would hope so. You would think so. It just feels like a squash. There's no scientific anything behind that. I just feel like they're going to beat it by 2 touchdowns because they'll be happy to have Tua back. As far as Monday night, I'm sure you read or heard about Bill Belichick just filleting and giving all this love to the Bears. He opened his press conference.
Really?
Oh, he spent literally 10 minutes praising the Chicago Bears and hyping them up.
Shit.
Of course he does. Everyone knows their shit, but that's what he does. He's going to gas them up and grease them up and make them feel like they're the biggest team they could possibly beat. So that's a pro wrestling move. You make your opponent feel like the biggest giant in the world so that when you beat them, it's like, oh my God, what did he just do? So that's all Belichick was. Yeah, they're going to kill them. They're going to kill the Bears. And Mac Jones is going to come back from his ankle injury, and he's going to look at Bailey Zappi, and he's going to go, oh no, we can't have this. And he's going to play his ass off and do what he's got to do to keep his job. Damian Harris is going to return from his hamstring injury, although you probably looked down on that because you declared Ramondre Stevenson the best, the better back last week.
Yes. Have I not been proven correct in that assessment, or?
I wish I had him on my team. I'm a fan. I'm a Ramondre
I'm
fan.
Saying, this Patriots resurgence seems to coincide with Ramondre Stevenson getting the lion's share of the work.
Hmm. Well, interesting. Something to keep an eye on. So Harris might return, but he might not get that many carries since Stevenson has taken over that role. But yeah, either way, I just think they're going to absolutely smash him.
Yeah.
I almost locked that up.
Oh, locking up against your Bears.
Yeah, well, what have they shown me? How do you lose a game to a guy with a broken finger?
Driving me
crazy.
I'm telling you, 3 goal to goes and 0 points. That's all you need to know.
I'm so glad
you
got.
I don't
off.
Know. You seem to take exception to when I said Matt Nagy would have won that game.
Because it's preposterous.
I understand your point because you know that is like the insult of all insults saying that.
Yeah,
but
like
he would have. You know, first of all, Matt Nagy was so bad coaching offense that Justin Fields' talent just took over because he wasn't hemmed in by it. Justin Fields doesn't look like he knows what to do.
Right, so but he didn't look like he knew what to do last year.
And Matt Nagy was an idiot, but he would have kicked some field goals. He might have gotten booed by the crowd for it. I'm telling you, the field goals for the Bears would have come in really handy in that game.
It's hard to argue against that, considering. But they still won the game. He still threw the touchdown pass to win the game. The receivers decided to bobble it. they still should have won the damn game, no matter who was coaching. Maybe they shouldn't have any coach. Just let the players go out there and wing it. What the fuck?
Man.
Can't be any worse than this.
No, it's bad. It's some they call it parody in the league. I call it disparity. Because the difference between good and bad is so it's a gulf of talent difference or quality difference between your like 4 or 5 best teams who were most of them not playing this weekend
and
the rest. And this weekend, this is just the rest. This is leftovers week.
Yeah, it really is. So leading into a little fantasy talk. So of course I'm dealing with my quarterback and my defense unavailable to me this week.
Yeah. Well, that's right, because you've got Project.
Mm-hmm. So I replaced the defense.
I can't even say that like full-hearted. Like, no, Josh Allen.
I'm going to call him Project forever because that's his nickname. He's not a Project.
I know. The guy I told you to draft with the number one pick.
Didn't have to.
You didn't have
to. Put him in the third.
You got an injured running back with the number one pick.
Oh, man. He wasn't injured when I drafted him.
No, I'm just saying.
What happened?
Oh.
The kiss of death once again strikes. It's not really the kiss of death because the guy that I drafted number two that I thought was a first-round talent, he's the best back in football this year so far with Nick Chubb.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Now, so
He's the top point producer. That's even more amazing because he doesn't catch any balls.
No, he's just straight running through your ass.
Right. So when you could be the number one fantasy producer with zero impact from the running game, like no receiving points, no PPR points, none of that, you get zeros pretty much every game for that, and you're still number one overall, you're a legend.
As Collins were to say, he's just coming down your throat. So, sorry. So I had to replace my quarterback and defense. I said I'd use the Broncos defense for quarterback.
It's not a bad play. I think I've got the Broncos D. I've got 2 DFS lineups right now, and I'm pretty sure it's like Bucks D in one and Broncos D in the other one.
It's the Panthers outfit. Oh, Lord.
Man. You might want to just have whoever's playing the Panthers every week on defense for the rest of the year.
That's probably not a bad idea. Because they are truly trying to lose. So quarterback, this is going to be a bit of a gambit, but I held on to Tua in my IR that whole time.
I'm going to say that's not the worst play. Then I start thinking like waiver wire guys and like maybe like a Jared Goff or something. Or
there's certainly guys that one would look at and decide would be a better play.
Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily blame someone. But the way I see it is.
Tua,
it's the one.
I fear for that man's safety.
Yeah, I do too. He probably shouldn't be playing football. Anyone who had a reaction like that to a concussion probably shouldn't be playing anymore. Just saying.
I contemplated using him, like building a DFS lineup around Dolphins this week. You can't even draft Tua. They haven't even added him.
Oh, he's not officially activated.
Yeah.
No,
My two lineups, I think, are, Bucks heavy, and then my other one is Chargers heavy. But I think that game's got shootout potential.
I agree.
Yeah, I actually don't. I don't see the. I said the Chargers win by three. You think the Seahawks can win, but that feels like a 30-27 kind of game.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I got 28-24. Yeah.
Okay, so we're pretty close there too. I think that would be. I don't know if that's the over on your side. That's definitely the over on my side.
Yeah, I'm just.
Let me see here. That's 50. Yeah, 50.5. So yeah, we both got the over. You barely got the over on that.
Yeah, I'm just worried about Herbert and those yards per throw going down is the way that they are. Like, oof.
Well, I know against Denver, that was just dink and dunk.
Check down,
game.
Charlie.
His yards, his yards per attempt, his average depth of target type stuff, that had to be.
That was Drew Brees worthy.
Yeah, absolutely terrible in that game. Actually, let me take a look here and see. Justin Herbert. His yards per attempt are 6.7 on the season. Last week it was 4.2.
Oh, Lord.
He was, 37 of 57 for 238.
And if he wants to expand and light up the Legion of Room, that's interesting and understandable, but now you're risking they got the cornerbacks that are doing the ball hawk thing right now. They're just going for it. They don't care that they're getting burned. They're just trying to get interceptions.
Who did he get hurt against?
Who broke his rib cartilage?
That was a while back.
It was a Monday night game, I believe.
That was the Chiefs then.
So that would be – or was it a Thursday night game? It was the Chiefs, but it was Thursday night, not Monday night. It was week two.
So his yards per attempt the first 2 weeks were 8.2 and 7.0. And since then, 6.6, 8.7 against Houston. But that could have been a whole lot of yak for all we know.
Right.
6.7 and then 4.2. Oh.
Yeah. It's not good.
His last 2 weeks, the average depth of target last 2 weeks were 5.5 and 5.9.
Yeah, like I said, that's Breeze worthy.
Yeah, that's Sam Bradford, right? Season. That's how you get those 80% completion rates. You know, that's what Sam Bradford did all the time, right?
Oh man, Sam Bradford. Whew. Yeah, we're gonna flog that horse, even though it's dead.
And the funny thing is though, since he got hurt, he's getting it out a little bit quicker, but not much.
Yeah.
So he's still trying to be Justin Herbert. Maybe nothing's open deep, or he just doesn't have the confidence to gun it deep, but he's definitely taking the checkdowns.
And then his receiving core is beat up, so there is that much as well.
He's still got good receivers.
Mike
Williams is really good. The other guy, like Joshua Palmer, DeAndre Carter, they're guys.
That last game that they played,
Donald Parham is starting to make some catches again.
He's hurt. He's going to miss this game.
Oh, he's hurt? Was it cold on the field?
That's right. I don't think it's a concussion, but he's not playing. I know that. But the Broncos just totally took away Williams, which I'm, keeping up with his progress because he's my fantasy receiver, and I was able to watch that game Monday night, so I could see his progress and what was going on, and they totally took him away
because the Broncos are legitimately good on defense
because they actually know what they're doing. Yes. Yeah, they
erased
the
other side of the ball that's coached by the genius that's not good at football.
It smells like is getting to that point where we need to start playing some real or fake to see some of these teams.
I was actually talking about that when we were talking about the the fraud teams, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, no, I hear you. I mean, if you want to do it this week, we can do it this week. Unless you want to maybe, I mean, next week or the week after would sort of be like the official kind of like halfway point.
Yep. Next week is right before Halloween.
Ah, oh, a spooky. We have a spooky show.
Yeah.
Next week. So, yeah, I'm good. We can do it right now or we can do a little bit next week. It's up to you.
No, I definitely don't want to do it right now. It's late. We both work.
11:15. Yeah, and I got a long day tomorrow.
Yeah, and I'm working in the morning. So.
Ah.
But
this is different because normally we do the Saturday show and then I'm off on some. Well, I mean, I'm off tomorrow, but the difference being I'm not getting up and, you know, driving on a trip.
Right. Yeah, we both have things to do tomorrow. You just don't have to work, but we both have things to do in the morning.
Right.
So yeah, we can aim for next Saturday for some real.
So I'll plan for some. I'll have thoughts because I mean I was even like kind of even talking about that a little bit today.
Yeah.
You know, about the teams that are like contending ish, but are all fake. But this week will help a little bit. I mean, we get to see one. We get another look at the Giants. You know, another look. I mean,
I don't know how much this week is going to help, but all of these shit games we got, I don't know if we're going to learn too much.
Are we 5
more.
Again? Because it sure feels like it.
Uh-oh, again. Let's see. So not counting Thursday, that's already
not counting
done.
Thursday.
1, 2, 3, 5.
Five.
It was only 3 before those night games.
Ah.
You got the dogs. You're taking the points in both of the night games.
Yeah.
That's probably a great move. I think the dogs have been eating this year. I think that's part of them, how crazy this year has been.
They have, and that's why when I started picking this week, I was like, man, I'm taking a lot of favorites. And then I realized I had accidentally scrolled halfway down the screen and didn't completely pick 4 of the games. I'm like, there must be a lot of buys this week. I realized I completely skipped the Lions game package. It's like, oh, I better pick those. This was maybe 6 minutes before the show.
Oh, wow.
So, my Detroit Packers, Titans, Jags picks are all just last-second picks.
Okay.
But I think we agreed on all 4 of those. No, you had
no,
Colts.
I'm taking the Colts in the 2 points because they're going to lose by 1.
You know what? You called your shot. I can't complain if you call that.
And that one I'll definitely brag because I said it live on the air.
Yeah. Now, the only thing that will piss me off is if this is like some like missed extra point bullshit or something. Then that's
I didn't say
like,
how they were going to lose by 1. I just said they're going to lose by 1.
No, I actually think the Titans can beat them by a good number. I think the Colts are due for some regression after last week.
Like I said, I got my arms out of my shoulder. I don't know what the hell to make of the Colts either way. I have no idea.
I think they're completely fraudulent. I think they're terrible. I don't think they're very good.
I think they're the leaders in the clubhouse for my Heckle and Jive award. Because how could that team that got shut out by the Jaguars come back and beat the Chiefs? I still don't know. That's even before whatever happened last week. That
they,
shit.
They, first of all, that game, that Matt Amendola, that's all you need to know. That man is a pox upon any team that he is on.
I don't know what award he's getting this year from either one
it's
of
gotta
us.
It's got to be. But... He's, like, cursed 2 different teams already.
Like, why would you pick him up again? Did you not see what he did the first team he was with?
That is fool me once, shame on you.
Fool me twice,
won't
shame get fooled
on
again.
Me. That's right. You won't get fooled again. All right, Bush. I got that reference.
Yeah, there you go. Figured you would. That's got to be an award. I got to write that. That's the fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, won't get fooled again.
We won't get fooled again. Yeah, because that's from that. That's actually from that song.
Yeah, it is. I don't think that's what W was referring to, however. Won't get fooled again. All right. When I start singing, it's definitely getting late. Any other fantasy advice in your DFS plays?
No, I probably got, I don't know, 1 more lineup to put together. I'm just trying to decide, where to go with. Oh, my God, I'm actually, both of my NBA matches going on right now. I'm actually making money in both of them right now. I'm up $6 tonight.
Oh, good.
Hey, they're all free matches.
Sure, why not?
So,
No, that's where I built my little bit of a kitty last year was off some free DFS contest. That was sort of my introduction to it. Now Yahoo doesn't really give you free matchups anymore, but
No, DraftKings is doing free NBA contests all week. Oh my God, Andrew Wiggins is going off.
Hmm.
He's got 46, and my night lineup is just like stud after stud tonight because it was just a lineup of the two night games.
Right.
And then the other one was just a matchup head-to-head in the other game. And obviously, if I nailed one, the chances are pretty good I nailed the other one. Oh, yeah, Andrew Wiggins, that's a captain squad one. So whoever you put in the captain spot is 1.5 points. So, yeah, Andrew Wiggins has 70 points for me tonight.
Wow. It's always great when you can light that up.
Well, I've realized with the one thing I have learned about when you play with captains is you never want to captain the top guy. You always want to captain like a mid-tier guy who you think is going to go off because then you have the salary saved to actually add all the top guys.
Sure.
That makes sense.
It does. And you're also taking a guy that's less likely to be covered by everybody else, which gives you a leg up as well.
Right. Like so in that matchup, that's Golden State and Denver, I captained Andrew Wiggins. Okay. He was only captain drafted 7.95%.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're not going to have a whole lot of other people glomming on to that guy.
Yeah, and because he gets 1.5 times the points, I've got 70 points from him.
Hmm.
He must be having himself a hell of a night. Let me see here. 8 boards, 2 threes, 3 assists, a block, 3 steals, and 23 points. Okay.
They call that stuffing the stat sheet.
And no turnovers.
Oh, that's also very important.
Yeah, but that allowed me to then also add Jokic.
Right.
And Steph.
Mm-hmm.
And Draymond Green, who's having himself a night. And I don't even know who this guy is. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope?
KCP.
KCP's got 25.25 for me tonight, and the only guy I have not doing anything is DiVincenzo, who's got 1 3-pointer made.
Well, it's always a good night for Draymond if he's not punching somebody in the face, so that's good.
Yeah, but Draymond's got himself, 11 points, 8 boards, 8 assists. That's interesting.
Hmm.
And Steph's not even having a huge night. He's only got 25 points.
That's still pretty good.
But I'll take it. That lineup's making me $4 right now.
Yeah, I know. They call that superstar in Yahoo, the captain pick. You get 1.5.
They call it like showdown captain mode in DraftKings. And that I have a lot of fun with those.
I tried to, but man, if I'd have had the Cardinals defense as my superstar Thursday night.
Oh, man.
2 pick sixes. I still couldn't.
In a minute.
There were so many randos scoring in that game. I had Juwan Johnson, the Saints tight end, on my team, and I had the Cardinals defense on my team and still couldn't get in the money because I didn't have either one as my captain. I had Kyler Murray as my captain. So.
Yeah.
It's all about figuring out who's going to make that move and get those points that no one else sees coming. Because I tried to really be secretive and slippery. I had both tight ends as part of my 5. I had Juwan Johnson and Zach Ertz. Because I was like, man, I don't know if either one of these quarterbacks is going to find any wide receivers. So I'm just going to take both the tight
right.
ends.
And, I mean, and Hopkins got his catches.
Yeah, he did okay, but he was, expensive, so I was trying to, save money.
No, I hear you there. Yeah, if you would have just, like I said, if you could have loaded up that lineup last night on the scrubbiest of the scrubby players,
man.
Which only, a degenerate gambler is doing on his 18th lineup for that game.
Yeah, you're right, but that's how it happens a lot of the week.
I'm guaranteeing you, if you're only putting together two or three lineups for that game, you don't have that construction.
No, but you still know you have to have some scrub like that.
Rashid Shaheed again.
Again, right.
Again.
Oh, man.
Oh. And even the podcasts I'm listening to are like, yeah, no. I'm saying, no, this isn't happening again. So they're like, these guys are the experts. These guys probably make money doing this.
But
and
who could
they
have
don't
seen
even
that? Because who could have seen that?
Right.
I'll absolutely follow the podcast that would have been pumping up the Arizona Cardinals defense as your big money play last night. Because that no one saw that coming, although we should have with Andy Dalton.
I like it. Yeah, 1371 out of 55,000 right now in that one. So,
yeah.
Too bad it's not first place because that is a lot of money.
Yeah.
Some of these are like 10,000, 5,000. I mean, yeah. It's crazy. I mean, I get excited making $7 is where I'm at right now. But
yeah, no, I'll take 200.
But I'll tell you what, I put 100. I told you I started the season with $100 in, right?
Yeah.
We're coming through week 7 of the NFL. If I actually end up winning this $7 tonight, I'll still be at $87 off my initial 100.
It's hanging in there. It's,
so I'll have only lost $13, and you know, but you know. I do a bunch of $3 lineups now for NFL, so I'll do like three or four $3 lineups instead of two or three $5 lineups. I think that way I'm spreading it around a little bit more shots at obviously less potential to win a bunch of money, but let's, you know, start small. I'm still waiting for that $50 or $100 hit, which I would be ecstatic with.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm, you know, $100, $200 or something, I'd be thrilled. Absolutely thrilled. I did take my first L last week in fantasy. There's nothing I could do. I got absolutely waylaid. Got put up 125 points on me. He had Jamar Chase. He had Ramondre. He had Lamar. I mean, he had Gabe Davis. There's nothing I could do about that. So one of those days. And then, like I said, this week I'm looking at Tua is my quarterback. That's what I was saying was I'm okay with taking that risk, holding on to him on IR this whole time because to get someone else off the wire, one of those other scrubs you were mentioning that probably be out there, now I got to spend another roster spot, cut somebody else. I don't feel like doing that,
yeah.
So I'm just going to go with Tua. It's only 1 week. This is the only week that I'm using a quarterback not named Josh Allen, right? So,
now, what I mean, do you have a backup plan if he's like, not going to go or?
Yeah, now then I'd have to cut him and find some other scrub, yeah.
Okay. But as of right now, right, he's going to go? I mean.
All systems go. Looks like he's going to go. Yeah, if something came down Sunday morning and they said he wasn't going to go, then I would have to find someone else. And then if something happens Sunday night where last second he's not going to go, then I'm kind of fucked. But.
Oh, no, yeah.
But no, yeah. I wouldn't. If it looked like that was going to happen, I would have a backup plan. But no, I'm going forward with him because all indications are that he's locked in and ready to go.
All right. Well, you know, good luck to you, and hopefully, good luck to me on these picks because I need to catch up.
Yep. Good luck. So, definitely have fun tomorrow watching some Giannis and
yeah,
bring your kids to Milwaukee.
I'll report back on that next week on the show.
Yep.
So, kids first experience. Bye. My first experience at an NBA game, which is just so weird to think about, but seeing it through fresh eyes and, you know, get to see it with the kids.
Yeah, it'll be fun. You'll have a whole lot of fun. I haven't even seen the new stadium, but I'm sure it's going to – you can't have to a better scenario when you're talking about state-of-the-art, brand-new stadium, great team, and playing against a scrub opponent. So everyone's going to come out happy tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They held off the Sixers on the road last night.
Right. And then the Rockets, like I was telling you, were playing the Grizzlies, ironically, tonight. And I haven't checked the score, but I'm pretty sure the Grizzlies kicked their ass because it's the Rockets.
Hang on. I can,
yeah,
can actually
take
tell
a look
you.
Here.
Cause I've actually got a player from – oh, that game is over.
Mm-hmm.
So I was looking at the wrong lineup. I was looking at the lineups I had active. It's like, oh, no, wait, this game's already over. They won by 7.
Okay.
So the Grizzlies won by 7.
Yeah, Houston put up 122. I'm kind of surprised at that. But
yeah.
Yeah, they won't put up 122 tomorrow on Giannis, I'm pretty sure.
I'll probably have myself a $1 lineup for that game tomorrow, too.
Yeah, why not?
We'll have a little investment. In the game. And I'll have to have a couple of Rockets on that one. I'll have a little Kevin Porter Jr.
Oh, wow. You're going deep if you're learning Rockets players.
You know what? Fantasy, man. It makes you learn. Like, I've already started. Like, I've already started learning some players. I've already started to find, like, I've already got favorite players.
The season just started.
Man, Tyrese Halliburton is one of my favorite players.
Oh, my gosh. You're going way deep into it. You're deeper in the NBA than I am now.
He's good.
Yeah, he's all right.
He's all right. 50-some fantasy points for me tonight. He's good. So,
yeah, you love him now.
I love him. I like me some Maxey. I like that kid from...
Tyrese Maxey.
Yeah, he's good, too. I like a lot of guys named Tyrese, apparently.
I guess so.
All right. I'm done.
All right. Our rare Friday night appearance for our football party. Looking back at a weird week 6 and looking ahead to what might be an even weirder week 7 starting, it started last night and will continue on Sunday. Definitely keep an eye out for these guys that are up in the air at the moment. There's no clarity on Russell Wilson and Tyler Lockett and some other people. So certainly keep an eye out for that tomorrow on the news wires and certainly Sunday morning for the inactives. All right, so that'll be it for us. He is Jay. I am Dre. This has been In Much Less Detail, the podcast. Thank you all for listening. And we will be back at our normal time next week. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah, we should be smooth sailing now for a while. I don't have anything schedule-wise until mid-December that might throw us off. Maybe a Saturday. Now, that probably wouldn't even bother me for a 9 o'clock show either when we do one of our family Thanksgiving gatherings or whatever. That's usually over in time for me to do the show.
Oh, okay.
So, other than maybe one blip in November, I'm pretty set through. I take it back. That week that in December that I'm gone, we're not leaving until Sunday. So we might be Saturdays for the rest till we start getting to Saturday football around Christmas time.
Right. Okay. I don't know. Of course, our family situation is still the same.
Right.
There may be some weekends where I'm at Uncle Milton's. I think I listened back to the show from last week as well. I think that worked out for my connection because I wasn't hosting. I think that's the big key is the connection is for me is still going to be shaky being on the Wi-Fi. But if I'm on the Wi-Fi and I'm also hosting on the Wi-Fi, then that's kind of double the shakiness. But if you're hosting and then it's just me on the Wi-Fi, then that kind of evens things out and makes it so that the breakup minimal.
Putting less of a strain.
Yep.
On your side and on your computer or any of that. So I get that.
Yep. So that I think that worked out pretty well for us.
All right.
All right. As I said, we will be back next week at our normal time. Saturday evening, 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central. We will recap this week 7 and look ahead to week 8 and maybe play a little Real or Fake. But either way, we'll certainly have some more fun at our next football party. And we will talk to you then.